This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. You can subscribe to the app on Apple and Android. Visit FUBARradio.com for more details.
Some news with Steve N. Allen and Eric McIlroy, ripping you a news one.
Well, good morning. 5 minutes past ten or something. 4 minutes past ten, that's more like it. It is Monday morning. It is some news on FUBAR Radio. Hello, I'm Steve N. Allen and that is Eric McIlroy.
Good morning.
So this is the show where we look at things in the news, rip it apart, see what's, you know, a level of analysis you would not get anywhere else during these hours on this station. Thank you very much. Makes us feel special.
Very specific.
So it's been a week since last week's show. Have you had a good week?
Yes.
Anything fun happen in your life?
No.
Okay, well, that was quick, wasn't it? Last week's show was all about me going to Switzerland, wasn't it? It was
of
like,
course.
Oh,
yes.
Will they, won't they? It was like Ross and me being on the show was like Ross and Rachel in Friends. It dragged on way too much. By then, you didn't care. And I did it. I managed to do the show because I was flying to Switzerland later than thought.
Mm-hmm.
Turns out I was flying back from Switzerland earlier than thought. I spent way less than 20, I think it was 22 hours out of the UK.
Right, which is just enough to give you that little taste.
A little taste of abroad. Genuinely of chocolate. There is the weird thing, because we were on Swiss Air, and they bring around things, and they're always kind of like, oh, would you like this? This is a little bit Swiss. Mm. And they give you a cheese bap, which apparently is Swiss, because of the cheese.
Yep.
And then they give you some chocolate.
Yep.
Which is Swiss chocolate.
Yep.
And I was sat there going like, come on, for the Nazi gold! They didn't bring any of that stuff around, so that was annoying.
That's first class.
Hey,
you don't get that in coach.
I got to walk through first class. They didn't look any bigger, the seats.
No.
So.
But the people?
Screw them. Oh, the people look massive. Yeah, that's true. So I was there for... the closest thing to enjoying it was that I felt like I was a jet setter, because I was on a plane within 24 hours there and back. It would have been easier. It took less time to do the Switzerland gig than it would have done to do one of those Southwest gigs where you have to drive all the way down there.
The thing is, you were in Zug, right?
I was in Zug.
Yeah, I've done that gig before, in Zug. And what I like is asking the people what they do there, the expats that live there. None of them will tell you what they do because they all just say they're import-export. Import-export, mate.
Of money.
Of what?
Yeah,
like, yeah, we're not going to tell you, you pleb.
There were loads of translators there, and there was a lot of people saying that they worked in tax. I was like, I know what you mean, but you don't, though, because no one pays it. Well, you work in tax fiddling. You work in tax avoidance.
Although, it's a big industry there.
It is, but there was only two acts on instead of the usual three. And I was like, oh, it looks like tax avoidance doesn't pay what it used to. I did show off by saying, like, yeah, you think you're fancy with your low... It's 10% that you pay in tax if you live in Zug.
Hmm.
I was like, yeah, you think you're fancy. I pay less tax than you idiots because I don't earn a lot. right, as we do the start of the show, it's time to bring in Sam. Producer Sam, well, you prepped the show for us. What we're looking at today?
Shall I work backwards like I did last week?
Yay.
Is that okay?
And he also did it off air as well.
You look good working backwards.
Thank you. In the final hour, we get into the features, don't we? Finish off with the definitive word. That's nearly written, which is new.
Wow, you're on top of this.
Normally.
It's week five, we're finally nailing this thing.
Dear Deirdre, are we allowed to call it that?
They're not listening.
Agonise is its real name.
Yeah.
But there's some good ones this week.
Ooh.
Ooh, are they sexual peccadilloes?
I've tried to not just go sexual this time.
I try that every time and I fail.
This was the first time I took a look at that page and I saw that there was ones that weren't sexual. I thought it was all sexual. I thought that was the point, but apparently not.
Weird family-related ones. Are they the ones that you got?
They're all family-related.
Okay, I'm looking forward to this.
So hang in for the third hour.
Yes, well done. Try if you can.
Just not quite as blue as normal.
Not as blue.
But maybe give you something to think
about.
We
can work clean.
Yeah, but if you need blue, just tweet us and we will blue this. We'll blue it up.
Blew it up, baby. Yep.
And we'll have some time for some weirder stories in the final hour, hopefully.
Yeah. Mary's going to be on the phone for us as well. She knows things.
Good. And then in the second hour, it's that weird no man's land between the weird and the serious.
Yeah.
You're going to be talking about a sleep story. Apparently, people who sleep for more than 8 hours, which I thought was a good thing, apparently not now, but we'll find out about that.
What? That's my life's goal, is to sleep for more than 8 hours. I put that on my flipping Google calendar.
They change everything. I mean, I go with the research, like, from that said cocaine was good for you. It's from the 1890s, but I'm sticking with it because it's going to come right back again, and then they can take it away. That's all they do.
It's good for the heart, and it helps you lose weight.
Yeah, I really like it. It was really interesting for me to talk about it.
Yeah, what else are we dealing with?
Well, we're going to speak to an actual doctor about the sleep stuff.
Wow.
A sleep expert, so you can ask some questions.
Oh, good, because I've got some questions about my knee as well.
You can try. And also, in this hour, more serious stuff, you're going to be talking about student fees. I worried that students wouldn't be represented properly.
Okay.
Just because we have that document we share, you suggested, Steve, that Eric had some quite serious comments about you think that students should be paying for university. Is that right?
He is more right-wing than the people I gig to in Switzerland. So
yes, make them pay.
I've got a newly graduate on who works for Save the Student, who basically a website, and they deal in saving students money, be it through fees or simply just kind of offers.
And we should also write down today's date, because you had a sentence there that included new graduate and works in the same sentence.
Yes.
That is rare. What's in this economy and all?
I think he's probably a volunteer.
Oh, good point. Well made.
I think he's got a number of jobs, so that perhaps explains what...
He doesn't want to have too many, or he'll have to actually start paying back his loan. So.
Beautiful. And what else is in this hour? So in this serious hour that we're going to kick off shortly, what else are we dealing with that's serious and we will lampoon it like fools?
For a change, we'll be talking about Putin. I think that, although it's probably the first time we've talked about Putin, isn't it?
We did Ukraine 2 weeks ago, and we didn't resolve that issue. Apparently they're still fighting.
Is this still going on?
It's their own stupid fault. Yeah.
That's pretty serious, isn't it? And then there's the other big serious story about Jihadi John.
Yeah, we'll be dealing with Jihadi John. Again, another one. Apparently he's a big fan of the show, so he'll be listening in.
Yep.
This is the show that will make the world a better place.
I think so. John, if you're out there, call us.
Don't. That would be...
Because I'm not asked to take the call.
That's true. Well, if you do want a call to get in on the show, you can have a crack at it. So you know what's coming up in the show. If you've got comments on any of those stories, you can give us a call. 0330 223 0200. Was that how you said to say it, Sam?
0330. I'm gone. 0330.
Yep.
223 0200.
Beautiful.
Is that right?
That's how I did it. 0330 223 0200. You can email to Steve at foodbarradio.com. You can tweet at foodbarradio. If you've got any comments on any of those stuff, we'll get stuck into it. So right, you can get back to work, Sam.
Thank you.
He's doing well on this, prepping the whole, you know, that's what he's doing.
Yes. He's great. That's very condescending what you just said.
No, that's good.
Look at little producer Sam.
Don't often work with people who know what they're doing.
Oh right. but what is that? I don't understand what you're saying there. Let's just clear our throats for the next minute till the song comes
on.
That
would be brilliant. so we're dealing with...
We've got loads of things.
In terms of order, I guess we should... thing, because you are slightly of the right wing, so it's been nice that
it's not right wing. It's actually, I'm left wing in America, but right wing fascist here. That's the thing.
Yeah, just because it's true in America doesn't mean it's true everywhere. So maybe
I think
wrong.
You find it is if you watch any movies or television. We got it right.
Nope.
We are infallible.
Nope. the Jihadi John story in Ukraine, bit of Putin. Man alive, this is going to be a hefty hour.
I did find a story that I think explains a lot about Putin's motivations that I hadn't uncovered before, and it really clears things up for me as far as why he's doing what he's doing, and maybe gives a little bit of a rationale behind it.
Beautiful. Okay, well, I think, right, we're set to lock and load. Let's do another song, and then... Let's get stuck into this crazy news.
Some news with Steve N. Allen and Eric McIlroy. News the way it shouldn't be done.
Good morning, I'm Steve N. Allen. Welcome to Some News on Foodbar Radio. Let's delve in. Ed Miliband facing Labour civil war over vow to slash tuition fees from £9,000 to £6,000. Look at the saving, it's a bargain. Ed Miliband plans to cut university tuition fees, facing mounting opposition, with even former Labour number 10 aide joining the attack. Uh-oh, awkward. There are predictions that the party could descend into civil war over the controversial proposal. Now, I didn't really think this even was that controversial, because, you know, Labour, meant to be leaning to the left. They dress to the left, which is a different phrase. And that means that they should be in favour of these things. And I consider myself to be left-leaning and indeed left-dressing. More information than you needed. And I, of course, you know, I went to university. I got a loan, but I didn't have to pay tuition fees. I got the loan just to survive. I got a grant as well, because we were from North and we were poor. So we got grant.
Is that how you talk in Mansfield?
Have you never been to Mansfield?
No.
That's how they know. They're more, coming down here, taking our rum and
wow. But
it's an amazing dialect. And that's why I lost it. So, but if you, in the old days, if you went in for your meeting to find out if you get a grant or not, you turn up and you say, grant, and, oh, I need money. That's it. Get some of that.
And so they'd let you into university when you talk like that.
Yeah, but only for science. not for these English fancy stuff. No, not for English language.
I guess I've got two interests in the story. One is that, okay, there's the whole debate about whether or not students should pay, and I guess you're right, maybe labor, that is the kind of thing that Labour would support. But considering how well the Liberal Democrats did with their promise of lower fees, you'd think this is like saying, oh, let's try a poll tax in Scotland. That's a good idea. This has destroyed the Liberal Democrats as a viable... It's one of the things that's led to... There's a number of things that have led to it. But I mean...
Well... But the argument should be...
a third rail now.
The thing that screwed up the Lib Dems is making the promise and then getting into a coalition. Not into office, if you were like entirely in control of stuff, but then you get into a place where you have to compromise, and for that, Reed bend over. And they go, okay, then we won't do the tuition fee thing that we really promised. And that when so much of your vote comes from these young, happy students who are like, yeah, let's vote Lib Dem. What harm could that happen? So that's why you lose a lot of your base.
Yeah, because they made a promise that they could never keep, because and they never thought they'd be in power. But, I mean, I guess maybe that's why Ed Miliband has made this promise, because he realizes he'll never be in power either.
Oh, the polls disagree, though. The polls think they might actually be... So my point of view, I'm a left-dresser, a left-leaner, and I think... I like the way that it was when I went to university was totally fair and appropriate. You, however, set out your stall, Eric.
I think that as long as there's a good funding mechanism to keep access available for lower-income students, that it is good to charge people. Because like what they're doing here, by putting the lower-income students are still going to get the benefit from all the things that are there to help them get into university. This is just going to help upper-middle-class people not pay their fair share.
So your argument is about this particular Labour thing, this idea of removing the cap?
I think it's reasonable to have there be some expense associated with university so that people pay, because if you pay... You appreciate it. So it means more rather than just giving it and having expecting everyone to go for free and be subsidized by everyone else when maybe they don't need to go to university. Maybe there's other types of vocational work to go into, other things. So you put it as a fun. If you pay for something, it means more.
Really?
That's what I...
You appreciate it more?
You appreciate it more.
Really? Any good examples of that?
Well, I have an old joke about that. But
I was trying to set you up for it, but you are not taking your own joke.
No, I can do my old joke.
Okay. But if you'd like to come and see Eric perform live, he has an old joke.
I have an old... It's a classic. It's one of my classics. So I don't want to dish out the classics in the morning. People aren't ready for that. It'll blow their minds. I've got to keep it back. See me live.
Here's where I no longer look popular, right? Because it's very easy to take the, you know, you shouldn't have to pay for university, and all the students will be like, Steve, we love you. We're going to come and support your live show touring around various festivals. Next to be seen at the Bath Comedy Festival. I think it's in March. Oh my crap, it's March. On the 26th maybe. But here's where I lose support. The reason it was affordable back when I went to university is because not everyone went to university. The people who should go to university, and wait for this, it's not going to be popular, are the people who are academically clever enough to go to university.
Yep.
Film studies. Now, if you have a system where, right, if you are vocationally gifted, go and get a vocation. All this vocational qualification is all very well, but the word vocation means a job. If you're good with jobs, go and get a job.
Yep.
If you're a bit poncy and you're a big fan of mathematics and yet your entire family taught you into doing a chemistry degree, I'm getting a bit personal now, then you can go off and do that. And I think that's the way it should be. Then society benefits from having the gifted minds becoming more gifted and more talented. Yep. It's not unaffordable then. The problem was there was the weird thing where all of a sudden all the polytechnics become universities, and then they open up. You can do a course on like beer flavors and Disney films and stuff like that.
You're advocating is some sort of system of class that we keep people in. That, you know, you get the workers.
Oh, sorry, wait a minute. You can socially climb by gaining a degree from a former polytechnic on this studying of Disney films from 2004 to 2005?
I think in a past life I've been to many of the new universities, and they're often more with it and organized than some of the other fantastic red brick institutions that are out there. I don't want to offend anyone.
Yeah,
but
what's wrong with my red brick place?
Well, yeah. So you went to
the grouting was beautiful.
Were you a red brick?
Red Brick was the University of Birmingham. It's mainly made. It's all
again. All see, you're all about the class. I didn't think you. I thought you'd be more of a socialist, but clearly you just want to keep the working man because you've socially climbed a little bit. I'm beginning to see now.
I've socially climbed a little
you've
bit.
You've moved a little. Yeah. You've moved on, and you've gone. I moved past my family.
And this is like World War Z. I've climbed a little bit. I want to be throwing that ladder back. I don't want the zombies chasing me. So no, I mean, I think that's the model that I think should work and could work. The problem is if loads of people go to university, it's not affordable. So then you have to set them up with loans, and you think, oh, that's fine. You repay it when you get a good job, and maybe you never get a good job, so you never pay it back.
Yeah.
But then the taxpayers are still paying for it in that case.
That's why what they should do is just take that debt, sell it on to private companies, and then those private companies will collect, and then the economy will be saved.
Wow. Yeah.
That's the proper right-wing way to do it. If you want to go all out, if you want to take this to its natural evolution, you know, I know some people at Quebec, some debt to take care of it, and you pay back your student loans.
So basically what you think is, if we have a situation where students have to sell a kidney to afford their life because they went to university, then we will be realizing the valuable money that's there that is untapped in people's kidneys.
Exactly.
The lower class people that you seem to think I'm saying should stay where they are rather than letting the gifted ones get, or the economically, you know, the, what I was saying, I don't know. I just suddenly realized I don't want to make it seem like I don't think, of course I think social climbing should work, but if all of a sudden any old degree is just available for anyone and all you've got to do is get yourself in 40 grand's worth of debt to achieve it, that's not, then no one stands out from the crowd, so no one gets to take a step forward.
Yep. We talked ourselves into an unfunny corner there.
If you... Hey, there's nothing unfunny about the serious issue of tertiary education.
It is. I found an article in The Economist which says that Labour's policy is bad. And it's The Economist, okay? They're never wrong, except for the Iraq war thing. But other than that, they are never wrong.
So what's your problem with Labour's thing then? That it's just going to help the middle class
people?
Well,
I think that this is a sop they're throwing out there, and they're trying to buy their way in the same way that Lib Dems in, and it backfired. I think it's just a silly thing to chase. I think people have started to recognize that there needs to be some cost associated with the individual benefit of going to university.
Yeah.
And people, as long as there's ways of helping lower income people who deserve to go to university, as long as those ways are there.
There it is. Beautiful. Yeah. Yep.
That's all I'm advocating. And the American system does do that. There's a lot of indebtedness in America, and it does get a little bit out of hand. But there's also a lot of grant programs and other things to help make sure that there's access for everyone. So as long as you maintain access, I think it's reasonable to make people pay if they've got a little bit of money. Just like it's reasonable for people to pay to come and see us do comedy, and then all these free shows come along. Never mind.
If you'd like to see me perform for free at the Bath Comedy Festival, check out the details on my website. It is indeed a free show, because you know why? I'm going to help the people who come to my Bath Comedy Show to socially climb. If you come and see my show, you will be a little extra rung up the ladder in terms of your socioeconomic position, because you will see a man from Mansfield, and in comparison, everyone feels good.
But is it free to get out of your show?
No, good God, no. Now, if you'd like to get in touch, you could call 0330 223 0200. What's your viewpoint? Should we make the students... So basically, let's boil this down to the talking point here. Should we let students go to university for free, or should we remove a kidney from them and realize the valuable monetary potential therein?
That was exactly my point.
Let us know your viewpoint on that one. 0330 223 0200. Email steve@foobarradio.com and a picture of your kidney, because we might be able to help you sell it. You know, like the cash for gold thing. There was like, and it's still happening, but there was a massive trend where every advert was, have you got some gold? Why not sell it? Because you are screwed, mate. You might as well sell things. That's going to be the next phase.
Yep.
Cashforkidneys.com. Let's buy it. Is it
buy it
is
now. Not, quick, go online.
If you might. Yeah. So I'm just going to go buy
the
that.
Song. We'll wait till the song's on.
I'm
going to
go buy
it.
That little
okay.
Puppy. And then, yeah, so you could put your kidney in a bag, in a jiffy bag. Maybe put
I think
a little,
it needs ice. You need an ice bag.
Put some ice in a cool bag, in one of those cool bag things. Send it, and we will pay. It's almost just slightly under the market value.
Do you have more than... is it kidneys you have? No, you got two livers, don't you?
And you went to university, you say?
I studied drama.
And tweet at FUBAR... should have done film studies. At FUBAR Radio. If you tweet at FUBAR Radio, you can let us know your messages as well. Right, we'll crack on with some more stories and maybe some more in-depth analysis on this particular situation on the way.
Some news with Steve N. Allen and Eric McIlroy. Bringing you the news the way you want to hear it.
That song into jingle was a gear change and a half. Good morning, I'm Steve Allen, that's Eric McElroy. This is Some News on FUBAR Radio. Delving into the news to see what we can find. Vladimir Putin is advised by aliens. Already that's my favourite headline.
Yep.
From the deal. What? Eh? What? This is a story where all I need to do is say what and a quite a lot as you read it out. Go for it.
Well, basically, Russia's President Vladimir Putin has been advised over the Ukraine crisis, and I would imagine it would continue into this crisis with this opposition leader, by a group of alien reptiles from outer space, claims a Labour politician.
Eh?
Might be the same one who's behind the tuition fees policy. The alien-obsessed Simon Parks, a councillor from Whitby, North Yorkshire, blamed hostilities in the troubled eastern Ukraine on a group of alien reptiles he calls the Nordics.
Now, I've got an issue right there. The Nordics are already, and obviously there are many issues.
I was going to say, just one issue with that.
I'll tell you what my problem is. Pick a different word. Nordics is already used elsewhere. Why would you do that? Why would you?
Well, it's well known that the people that live in Norway are human reptiles. Oh. And that's why they don't get much done, because it's so cold.
And they are
cold-blooded. That's right. You heard it here first on FUBAR. Breaking reptile news story from Norway. People move slowly.
Because they're reptiles.
Because it's cold. And that's why drinks are very expensive there.
Alien. Where do we break this one down? Alien reptiles from outer space as well, which is good because that means they come from a planet that's not within our solar system.
Yeah.
Of course.
Outer space is beyond our solar system?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of people do that when they talk about, oh, look, it's been sent up to space, and they'll suddenly drop an outer space in.
Yep.
Even though it's in the solar system, and I'm sat there like, dick.
Is that when your date ends? It's funny that you said that, but actually, I think you're fine.
I think you're fine.
So many reasons why your dates end. What's interesting is that basically, so the aliens have done a deal with Putin. He's got the inside scoop on this. I mean, I don't know why the guy's just a councillor in Whitby. I mean, he should be running for, I mean, if Nigel Farage can be a member of parliament, this dude.
He's tip for top. He's getting the press coverage already now.
Basically, the reptiles are advising him because they're giving Putin technology that is on par with American technology. Yes.
Wow. So he's getting technology that's on par. Why do these aliens, if they're so advanced, not give him technology that's on par with Japanese technology so it actually works rather than some American guff?
We buy that Japanese technology, although now a lot of it's from Korea. You buy Korean technology with your little Samsung phone.
Little? How dare you, sir?
That's true.
How dare you?
Are you going to get one of the... They've got a bendy one now, too.
Yeah, the old... Curve. Yeah, Curve. S6.
Another story. Another story for another time. This is more important and real. So he was... Apparently, he announced that Putin was doing this for this hot technology from America, like TiVo and stuff, because they don't have that in Russia. They're just getting Breaking Bad, and Putin loves it.
He's binge-watching all of that. That's why he's not said a lot about the Ukraine crisis. The dude's he's busy.
Yeah. I mean, there's no way he killed that opposition guy because he was watching Orange is the New Black.
He's watching that. Yeah, he's watching Orange is the New Black because there's one thing that guy loves. Homosexuality.
But apparently this Mr. Parks was speaking to a group of 30 people.
No, you can't mock him for that. It seems easy to mock him, but let's think about how many people turn up to a lot of our gigs.
Loads of people turn up to our gigs, Steve. Do not break the veil of illusion. How did he get 30 people into a gig, actually? Maybe we should talk about aliens more. I'd love to have 30 people see me.
I am willing to talk about aliens on my Bath Comedy Festival show that happens this month.
I mean...
Third plug of the show already.
Anyway, I'd like to talk to Simon sometime because he sounds really interesting. His mother is an alien as well. Nine-foot green alien with... 8 stick-like fingers, which I think is kind of off the topic of Putin. But
so, hang on. This guy thinks that Putin is advised by aliens, and he thinks his own mother is an alien.
That is correct.
Does he think that his mother is giving advice to Putin?
It doesn't link the two, because I think he was abandoned, and it's rather. Yeah.
Oh, so he doesn't actually. He's never seen his biological mother.
He was fathered by an extraterrestrial as an extraterrestrial love child. His parents were having sex that caused some tension. It sounds like there's a complicated backstory here, but the main thing that we've discovered is what's motivating Putin, which has been a mystery to the West. Why is he doing this? Why is he going back to Cold War style politics? He is basically being advised from people beyond our solar system.
You mean if you're going to get your advice from anyone, I think Alf is probably not the person.
Oh, that's retro.
Thank you.
I think that get you kicked off some radio stations because. one knows what ALF is in this century.
Now it's niche. It's niche. I'm not out of date, so I have niche references. But it is tricky with what's happening in Russia at the moment. The pictures in the Telegraph says it's 70,000. I think the Metro said 50,000. Yeah, what's 20,000? Between, you know, if those spare 20,000 would like to turn up to my Bath Comedy Festival gig, I would flipping love it.
Yeah, I just, you know, because I'm on that diet, I just lost 70,000 pounds, or maybe 50,000.
Give or take. Pretty much all of those numbers. So the 70,000 mourners are bearing white, blue, and red Russian flags. You know what? This is the problem with flags. Not a lot of color variation. Pretty much all the main flags have red, white, and blue in them.
Except the Welsh.
Well, no, it's got... All right, I don't have any blue, but it's got the red. That's red and white based.
Yeah.
A little bit of green, don't get me wrong. And then, yeah, it's basically your three main. Your white, your red, your blue. All the good flags.
Oh. Racist.
No, it's not. It's just... No, because then I'm picking on people who are the same race. Greece. Oh, and it's blue. It's a light blue. It's not a good blue. And Germany.
It's got some. You'd think that the Greece flag would be in the red. That's a pun.
Woo! So
I'm all about the pun. I'm going all in for puns. That's my new year's resolution that begins in March.
Beautiful work. You've even missed the Chinese New Year. Well done. So, yes, with what's been happening over there with the opposition leader who was killed, I mean, I guess we need to wait for more information on this. It does always look awkward if you're in the opposition leader to someone who seems to be linked to some no good, and then you get taken out like that.
Yeah.
And that is hashtag awkward.
He did draw that picture of Putin, which you're not supposed to do in Russia.
Can't you draw pictures? He just drew a picture of Putin with the massive head, small eyes. Like, next thing you know, that is just a drawing of the aliens. But there is a thing in the Metro today. The regime implicates model lover. The pro-Putin Russian media has accused the model girlfriend of Boris Nemtsov in his murder. And I looked at that picture in the Metro today, if you've seen it. I thought, this makes it even more tragic. It's always the death of anyone is a tragic thing.
Yeah.
But when you see the model whom he was dating, he had so much to live for.
No, or you can think, hey, he lived life to the fullest.
Normally
you don't think... it seems like the European politicians, like Sarkozy, he had a model girlfriend, didn't he? The current French president,
François Hollande.
He's had loads of girlfriends.
Well, there was the actress.
Yeah.
Which is just perfect.
These continental politicians are getting it on.
And no wonder Nigel Farage wanted to be voted in to be an MEP. I mean, wouldn't leave? 23-year-old model, he has been implicated in the murder. If you were going to go, that's the way to go, isn't it? Just going to be lost.
You seem distracted now. You're going to spend a little time researching this story more now, aren't you?
I just think I've made lifestyle decisions badly. I ended up being a so-called comedian who's performing a flipping free show in Bath Comedy Festival.
Not free to get out.
That's true.
That's free to get in. It's not to get out. That's the whole free festival.
That's the way I like
which
it.
I'll be doing in Edinburgh.
Woohoo! I think it's a tricky situation. I just think I should have ended up being a Russian opposition leader.
So, I mean, does that mean we should get our own aliens on our side? I mean, if there's a group of aliens advising Putin, maybe we should get a group of aliens that are pro-Western. Pro-Western aliens. Although, would they know the difference between East and West if they're from outer space? Because would that... they wouldn't have that sort of, you know, top and bottom and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, because aliens don't know anything about direction. What?
No, but I mean, there are East and West aren't going to mean anything to somebody who's from the planet Xenox because they could be... we're all spinning around and stuff.
Yeah.
Don't look at me. Don't give me your...
Spheres are still spheres no matter where you come from.
Yeah, but I mean, what do they care about our sense of direction if they're from another place? Because we politically orientate ourselves east and west, but that doesn't mean anything to them because they're from a whole other dimension and direction.
No, they're not from another dimension. This is what happens.
Don't try and put reality on a man who thinks that Putin is being advised by aliens. Don't say, actually, I think you'll find... That's like, I remember once years ago, being in the Matrix. Not in the
Whoa,
Matrix.
Whoa, wait a minute. Wow, you were in the Matrix.
Sitting in a cinema, watching the Matrix.
All right.
And there was a guy sitting in front of me. This was in Seattle during the tech boom, right? And a lot of computer geeks, Amazon, you know, Microsoft in Seattle.
I've heard of them.
And there's the bit where they're dialing into the Matrix and they're using a rotary phone.
Yeah.
And the guys in front of me in the movie just went, he can't connect to the internet using a rotary phone. Like that destroyed the reality of the film.
Even that,
it was real up until that point.
Even that, I would back you up there, because those rotary phones are in the Matrix, and therefore that's why you can connect.
The fact that you know the reality of, actually, I think you'll find that within the Matrix, the rotary phone does work.
Yeah.
If you've learned anything from today's show, A, Putin and aliens. B, rotary phones totally valid within
valid
Matrix.
Within the Matrix. In the Matrix is. It's not just about bending the rules. You're about to break them. 0330-223-0200. I don't know what you would comment on that one. What is it like in the Matrix? Do you know any aliens? I have no idea what's happening. And email steve@fubarradio.com. Tweets to @FUBARradio.
Some news with Steve N. Allen and Eric McIlroy. Some news, some jokes.
Some news with Thingy and Thingy. Hello, good morning. I'm Steve Allen. That's Eric McIlroy. This is FUBAR Radio. Yeah, if you want to get in touch, tweets to @FUBARradio. What have we got? Graham Pickering says, morning, Eric.
Morning, Graham.
Oh, cheers, dude. Cheers. Wait, what?
Good morning.
Whose name's on the above the door on this? Eh? Eh? Flipping, who's Starbit?
Like I got my fans out there.
And Matt said, thank you very much, Matt Smith, on the Twitter, sends me a message and says, and tweets it to @FUBARradio, that's how you plug that. He says, your Bath Comedy Festival gig on the 29th in the Brewhouse, tell us more. That's very good of you to have done the research and to set me up. I was already plugging like a beast. But yes, and he says also, Alf is my current reference. Yeah. Alf. It was an amazing sitcom, just comedy show.
Oh, it was a big part of my life. Big part.
In many ways, I thought I wanted to grow up like Alf, to be, you know, a little bit funny and loads of body hair. And I've achieved it!
Well, body hair-ish.
Oh, I'm not going to show you. I genuinely nearly showed you that.
Yeah, sorry, I was just looking at what was visible.
Oh, there's not a lot on the visible zone. I like to keep that.
If you do decide special. To show us, I will tweet that out. If anybody would like to see Steve's body hair, tweet us at @FUBARradio, and we will start taking pics.
We need to set a limit on this, though, don't we? It's got to be at least 10. If 10 people request some Steve body hair, I'll see what I can do. Fewer than 10, and let's be honest, it's going to be fewer than 10. I'm going to keep my body parts to myself. Tweet @FUBARradio.
If you want to see Steve's body hair. That's quality radio, isn't it? Is that is it the Sony Award, or what's the big award in radio?
Yeah.
Would that get us a Sony?
I think I might not sponsor it anymore. Back in the day when I used to write for people and we won some, it was called a Sony self-promotion. Oh, when I used to write for people who won Sonys. Oh.
You can see the Sony winner nominee at Bath Comedy Festival.
Right, let's dive into some more news. Jihadi John. There are so many stories, I don't even know which headline to pick for this one. Jihadi John complained his life was being controlled by MI5 before heading to Syria, and he was being exposed due to Web Arab over the weekend. Well, I mean, it's been an interesting week for this story, that this was the week over the last 7 days when we got the identity of Jihadi John. So for ages, we know this Jihadi John character, and then we find out his identity.
Yeah, it turns out Jihadi John was not his Christian name.
Yeah, well, not. Yeah, I mean, I don't think Muhammad was his Christian name. Muhammad Emwazi turns out to be the actual identity of Jihadi John. And there was that moment where I heard on the news that was, and I thought, now I think about it, John was probably a very long shot in terms of that being his real name.
Yeah.
I feel a fool. But the thing is, right, though, statistically, and I'm just talking about the maths here, baby.
Yep.
Statistically, the fact that he's called Muhammad was way more likely than him being called John.
Correct.
But this is the world in which we live, where if I would have said to someone, before we actually were told his identity, if someone said, blah, 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 Jihadi John, and I went, well, no, surely it's more likely to call him Jihadi Muhammad. Ooh, I would have, the flack he would have got.
Racist.
Exactly. Yeah. It turns out, like, you know, we should be calling him Jihadi Muhammad right now. Although it is harder to say on radio. Go for it, Eric.
Yeah.
No, try and say it.
Jihadi Muhammad.
All right, you did it, Earl.
Thank you.
If you'd like to call in.
Into the Arab cultures.
And that's where you practice.
My Jihadi Muhammad.
So, yeah, it's been, it's interesting. We find out the identity, we find out where he's educated in this country, and then the fact that the MI5 kind of knew about him. But a lot of people said, like, oh, well, totally, how did he do this if they already knew about him? It's good that at least they knew that this guy was at least on someone's radar.
Yeah, that's true. They were working. Not working well enough, but they were working.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I love the way that they found out his name was that he had logged on to buy something using his student ID to get a discount. So, you know, he might be a murderer, but he's also looking for a killer deal.
Oh, hey.
Gags. We got gags on the show.
You'd think, I mean, okay, everyone wants to save a little bit of money. But you'd imagine if you're off to go and like be some war, some terror guy. But
maybe this is a good sign because everyone's been saying that ISIS is the best funded terror organization in the world right now because they've got their own oil fields. They've been selling off artwork from the museums they've been pillaging. So maybe they're struggling now on hard times and maybe they're looking for a little student discount. And maybe this is a good reason why we keep tuition fees high to keep out people from ISIS going to British universities.
Yeah, that's one great way to help to defund terror organizations. We need to increase student fees so that when people go to university and get radicalized by the speakers who are, at the moment, still allowed to turn up and say whatever they want. That was yesterday's news.
Yeah.
You would then make sure that at least, oh, I so want to be a politician wearing a suit doing all this. And so we think that way, if we saddle the students with lots of debt, when they go off and become parts of terror organizations, they take with them that debt. And in many ways, that's one of the best ways to defund them.
See, the listening public can't see this, but Steve actually, as he was doing that speech, did the hand gesture of the forward arm thrust that politicians do pointlessly to make it look like their hands
are attached to their body. The forward hand thrust is the political gesture, but it was kind of the Tony Blair. Now they all do it. And, of course, there is the Nick Clegg hand gesture.
which would be inappropriate.
You don't need to describe it. We all know what I just did.
Do? All right.
Of course.
It needs a sound effect. No,
all right.
It doesn't.
The Nick Clegg hand gesture.
That hand gesture, if you come back to us in the third hour, we've got a story about that hand gesture and how it's going to solve the energy problems throughout the world.
This show is not just thrown together.
No, it is not. It's not just...
So
there are so many... it is obviously a difficult story. Jihadi John is a baddie. I think it's... Is it safe to say he's a baddie?
Is he a baddie? You are so prejudiced.
That's not... Yeah, I am. No.
The front page of the Sun on Sunday, in terms of making him a baddie, the front page of the Sun yesterday was Jihadi John's drug bingers. And I read that and thought, we already don't like him. There is no one is reading that going, the terror guy with the beheadings, he did some drugs. Well, now I don't like him at all, his sort.
I think you're clearly in the category of bad person where you can't even find some little old later neighbor to go, but he was such a nice boy who kept himself to himself and... He always seemed to be measuring my head. You're not even finding that.
That's true. It was the Express who had a story about how he fancied someone at school. It's like, we don't need a character assassination. We already think he's bad.
Yep.
Soon as the terror started, off my Christmas list.
But the thing is, the one person who did talk about meeting him was some people who saw him come into a clinic or some sort of hospital in Syria. And the thing that they remarked about, the fact that he was actually quite well-dressed and he gave everyone sweets. So that, I guess that is one nice, which makes him sound more like Jimmy Savile. Ooh. But am I going to get in trouble for calling Jihadi John a pedophile? Is that a libel lawsuit?
Wouldn't worry about suing terrorist? As much as...
That's right.
Not
that's why my name
sued.
Is Steve, and you can find me in Bath.
There are some newspapers that have taken a rather interesting angle, where they're almost pointing out that there was a lot of narrative yesterday about how he felt under pressure by being under surveillance,
right,
and that may have turned him into more of a terrorist.
Mm.
Now, if I were like severely under surveillance by MI5, I think going and being a terrorist would be proving them right.
Right.
That's just kind of like, you think I should be under surveillance? Well, let's go. And of course, it just seems like it's right. And there's a thing in the Metro today. The Islamic State butcher, known as Jihadi John, once complained that harassment from British spies made him feel suicidal. If only those British spies would have tried that a little bit harder.
Mm.
He emailed...
That's a bit dark.
Okay, that's a very good point. This is not one of our late night shows. He described how... Now, this is interesting, right? He described how he sold a laptop to a man who he later became convinced was an undercover MI5 agent. The buyer knew Mwazi's first name. So this guy must be a spy because he thought Jihadi John statistically might likely be called Muhammad.
Maybe he wasn't an MI5. Maybe he wasn't a spy. Maybe he was just racist.
That is a very likely scenario.
Don't sell to racists or MI5 people. No, I guess you're saying so he kind of went into this because he thought this MI5 guy was taking his laptop. He thought he was being pressured. So he's just rebelling. So this is basically the you're not my dad syndrome. That's all this is about. This is just teenage angst gone wrong.
If you're worried about being under surveillance, don't sell laptops in the first place. Or work out how to remove your data from it first. Install Linux. We're back to
No! Linux. Just get a Mac and then you don't have to sell it because it will work forever.
0330-223-0200. Email steve@fubarradio.com. You can tweet to @FUBARradio as well. Are those the serious stories over and done with? Is it time to that get is, light and
We
relaxed?
Are going
to
get a little lighter now. I mean, that is obviously... It's bad. It's bad, basically, is what we're saying. Yeah. Don't behead people, please.
Oh, well, that's a take-home message from the first hour of the show. If you want to get in touch, you can tweet @FUBARradio. Email steve@fubarradio.com and call 0330-223-0200. So into the next hour, we'll start looking at some other news stories that are, yeah, as I say, slightly lighter. We should relax when we get after 11 o'clock with, I haven't said that. There's still death involved in the next hour, but it's your own fault if you die because you sleep too much. And at some point in the story about how sleeping can kill you, one of us will do the joke about driving at the time. That, you know, that old kind of like, I want to die peacefully in my sleep, not screaming. Like the passengers in my granddad's car, you know that old joke.
Yep.
Yeah, we'll definitely do that. Oh no! Someone's put another alien story in, so we'll be doing.
What about? Because I was driving the bus.
Yeah, we'll have a punchline where originally we imply that we are not driving a bus, and by the end of it, we'll find out that we are driving a bus.
And then that's when I should walk.
Do you know if you're a bus driver? You know when a bus drivers look so miserable, right? They can never do that joke. I was at work the other day. Blah 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 blah. And then I got off the bus, and like, yeah, you. You're a bus driver, so yeah. But imagine if I weren't a bus driver, right? And then I got off the bus. Yeah, but you're wearing a uniform. It says bus driver on your chair, and that's why they look so miserable when you get on the bus.
And that's also because people are always singing at them.
Thank
you, Mr. Bus Driver.
I always remember I was once on a bus, and the guy driving the bus, it was the school bus, and then he was so miserable. And I had a go at him, and then I got in trouble. And then they said, maybe teaching's not for you. Wait a minute, you thought I was a school kid, and it turns out I was a...
I've actually driven a school bus, and the fact that they... When you do that jerky brake thing, like, you know, on the bus where they go, whoa, and you... Yeah. There's a way that you can brake, and you release the brake and go into driving. It does not do that.
So, right.
And I learned how to do that when I was driving a school bus back in the day.
I thought a jerky brake would be when you get 10 minutes to... Do you know what? Don't have time to finish that one. On the way in the next hour, we'll delve into some more news.
Some news with Steve N. Allen and Eric McIlroy. Some news, some jokes.
So, good morning. It is 11 o'clock. Welcome to FUBAR Radio. I'm Steve N. Allen, joined, as ever, by Eric McIlroy, delving into some news stories. This is the hour when... Do you know what I did say? Could we get like a slightly lighter story in this hour? Just, you know, because we don't want to be dealing in the turgid information that can make you feel depressed about the world.
Yep.
This one certainly is light. Don't let it go to your head. That is a pun that you will understand when we bring you the story. Pentagon actually spends $41.6 million on Viagra last year, not $500,000. Wow, I mean, they need to shop around because there are some websites. What?
Yeah.
So, this is from this is right up your street, Eric. I'll let you take this one.
Well, basically, apparently there was a story a while ago that said that the Pentagon was spending around $500,000 on Viagra pills. But no, the Military Times has uncovered the fact that they are actually spending $41.6 million, as you just said, and over $84.2 on erectile dysfunction overall. So basically...
So they're spending $40 million on Viagra and $80 on erectile dysfunction.
Yep. Mm-hmm. We got to keep our fighting men fit. I mean, you can't be expected to go into battle unless you are fully aroused.
What are we doing to these people during war? that's a very good point, actually, isn't it? So what, the extra other $40 million is being spent on pumps?
It's just, I mean, a lot of it is...
You can't have a pump in battle, can you? They all...
Well, I mean, maybe the theory is if you've got lots of blood saved up in your penis, then can we say penis on...
We can't say blood, though, which is weird.
Ah, it's odd. But so then that way, if you're shot, you've got less blood to leak out of your body because you've got it stored in, you know. I'm talking about pints and pints I could store.
Thing is, though, I believe after recently doing some Viagra research, don't ask.
Okay.
The I was finding out how it was invented, right? Anyway, saying this off air, right? I heard a joke someone was saying about how, oh, isn't it terrible? We live in a world where people spend millions on developing a drug so old men can still get erections, blah, blah, blah. We should be helping out. Don't get me wrong. I love a left-wing rant. But it turns out no one ever did that. No one spent millions developing a drug so you could get yourself a booner.
What?
It was a heart drug. Didn't really work. Turns out it was a side effect that gave the old... I wish I'd have brought a swanny whistle just for that moment.
That was not bad, though.
Thank you very much.
That was almost Earl Oaken-esque in your musical abilities there. And if you haven't seen Earl Oaken, he's not at the Bath Festival.
Yes, he's doing better than my career. Yeah, it was just a side effect. And I guess then you spend some research turning that side effect into a proper drug. But still, it was just a side effect. Yeah. It's like Teflon, but it's almost the total opposite of Teflon.
Well, both are hard.
And sticky. No, what's brown and sticky?
Okay. But I mean, I guess why? Because I mean, I guess maybe because it's part of the Pentagon budget, because they take care of veterans, and veterans as they get older, you know, because in America we don't have nationalized medicine except for our veterans. They take care of the veterans, give them nationalized care.
What's the definition of a veteran, by the way? Is it you have to have been in a war, or just you've served
a certain level?
Well, I wonder everyone's joining the flipping army then.
Oh yeah, the benefits for being in the military in the U.S. are great.
Wow, apart from that whole getting shot at thing.
Well, sometimes you get to shoot someone else, which is quite fun.
Oh well, then there we go.
But yeah, I mean, it's a lot of money to spend getting your game on.
Look, just reading the extra bit. That's where the extra money goes, on Cialis and Levitra.
Yeah, which I didn't even know. I don't get any emails about those.
I thought Cialis and Levitra were like they were a double act on Britain's Got Talent, weren't they? You are not going through to boot camp.
No, they weren't that hard up.
So, right. So it's the equivalent money for nearly four U.S. Air Force F-35 Joint Strike Fighters.
Yep.
So you could have bought nearly four aeroplanes for the cost of the Viagra that they've spent.
Or you could have gotten, or you could get laid.
No, that one.
But I mean,
oh no, the thing I was going to say is a sad point. I'm all over the shop today. But Viagra wouldn't be good if you've been shot, because I think it's a blood pressure a blood thinner or something. So actually, you'd bleed out quicker.
Why are you researching Viagra?
Oh.
Because it's not just about the old man with penile dysfunction, it's about the middle-aged man as well.
I did a gig, and there was an open mic. It was a new material thing, the backyard comedy one. And I was driving down from my parents, and I stopped at a service area. And they had, quite often this happens, they have adverts for problems with erectile dysfunction above the gent's urinal.
Yep. And urinal.
I was struck by the thought, that is exactly the one place, right? If I were a sufferer of ED, and by that I think it means erectile dysfunction and not that big horse that can talk. Either way, I don't want to be getting aroused near it. But I was in the gents, and I thought, if there's ever one place in this world where I don't want to be getting aroused, it's whilst at a urinal in the Newport Pagnell services. One, it would be embarrassing. Two, I'd piss in my own chin. So there are many reasons why that is the worst place.
But if you were going to get aroused, I think of all the people, because the listeners may not know this, because it hasn't really come up. I think maybe got mentioned once on the show. Steve is an expert on motorway services. And so he really seems like, we'll have a chat sometimes after a gig.
Yeah.
And I'll be going into the Lee Delamere.
Lee Delamere services.
Is that the one with the droopy earring guy?
There's a guy in the Lee Delamere services on the westbound side.
I haven't seen him
side.
Lately, though.
Well, it's not westbound, it's eastbound. Yeah, that's true. I've not really. But if ever you do a late night gig, and I don't know your problems, maybe you do. But if you travel back through Lee Delamere services late at night, on the eastbound, there is a guy who used to have one of those earrings in that stretches out the earlobe.
Yep.
And maybe he has to take it out to work there. Maybe he's just
I think he had to take it out. It was one of those probably things like, oh, you can't have that hoop in your ear.
Yeah.
So instead,
let him put it back in, because it's just like a flubber-dubber. It's like a bike tire without the metal thing around it.
He's really friendly. He's very, if for whatever bizarre reason this poor guy's listening and we're taking the piss out of his ear.
If he's listening, he can't hear it, can he? He's just got to be hearing.
Please call, because you were always very friendly, and I feel bad for you, because I also just wanted to grab you and just pull it.
I didn't want to pull it, but I wanted to put my little finger in it. Because it got wrinkly on the inside.
All right, chill. So of all this is a little bit off topic. So if I was a military man and I'm visiting the UK and I'm going to drop a little Viagra, I need to do it in a service station.
Favorite question I've ever been asked on radio. Yep.
Which service station would you choose to be aroused in?
If I were going to get it sexy on, I would probably say South Mimms.
The thing is, people don't realize he's not joking. He's actually visualizing the right service station. And this one's probably quite nice, which is just odd that you... I've never quite understood, because I'll be like, I don't know which service station I'm in. They all look alike to me. And that's not racist. That's stationist.
Birchhanger Green. I'm thinking now Birchhanger Green. Oh, sexy Birchhanger Green, because it looks quite nice, right? Yeah. There's a lot of space inside, but also it is... That's my two favorite things I like when I'm going to get it on. But also it's got like... What's they called? It's not a holiday. It might be a Holiday Inn there, but that one looks nice. The thing is with the Reading services, it's handy to get in, but the Holiday Inn thing there, it's just a bit prison-y. I've stayed there, and it's a little bit prison. Yeah.
Why? All right.
Although, if you are going to get... Oh, no, what am I saying? What fool am I? Winchester. The Winchester services.
Oh, I think I've been to that one.
They're not popularly frequented, but they are one of the services that have a shower. Get in there, get it on.
There you go. So you've got your ED pills, got a shower.
Yeah.
That's everything you really need for a man on the road.
That's like that advert with that song in, you know, for Muller Lite. Got my shower, got my ED pills. That's all you need.
It's just like that song.
That's how I leave the house. Keys, mobile phone, ED pills, place where the shower, and a military man to get sexy with. What am I saying? He'd bring the pills. He gets free pills.
I think we've gotten everything we can out of this story. If anyone has any thoughts about how much money they think we should spend on Viagra, I wonder how much the British military spend on Viagra, if we could get similar numbers. Or is it all NHS spending?
We don't need them over here.
Why are all those ads in all the service stations all over the country? If you haven't seen this ad because you don't go into male urinals,
then screw you.
Basically, it's got three guys, and they're naked with hats over their genitalia, and two look unhappy and are holding their hats, and one has a big smile, and he don't need to hold his hat because he's dropped some happy pills. It's an interesting way to advertise it.
I mean, if anything, it's that I'd rather be the other two guys, because if you're just hanging around naked with some other dudes with hats,
it's implying that you're aroused by that, which there's nothing wrong with that. If you want to be aroused, you're not. Are you saying you shouldn't be aroused by men, Steve?
No, milliners, hats. Don't get a hat thing going on. What is wrong with
what
you?
What if it's a wool hat?
Well, obviously now that's different, isn't it?
That's different.
Although now I'm thinking wool hat, Winchester services, shower, ED pills.
Can we get some music we could play for, give Steve a moment or something, maybe?
If we have Je T'aime available, I'll... what time is it? We could delve into another story.
I don't have that story.
Yet again, we are talking aliens. We dealt with it in the last hour in terms of they're in charge of Putin, but also they are a scary, scary thing. Take it away, Emac.
So do we want to know if we're alone in the universe?
Yes.
Apparently in 1960, a young radio astronomer named Frank Drake conducted the first extensive research for alien civilizations in deep space. He aimed the 85-foot dish of radio telescope to nearby sun-like stars, tuning into a frequency he thought might be an alien civilization. So I guess they'd be more FM than AM. I don't know where you'd find them on the dial. Listen to alien radio.
Alien radio.
But what they're doing is they're thinking about flipping this and sending the messages out. We've been listening all these years, and we've been sending out TV signals and stuff. But those have just gone out generally, apparently, and not in any directional way. But this is actually picking out planets that we believe could sustain life, that are Earth-like out in the outer space.
Good use
sending
of it,
the message directly and contacting them. Science Steve, is this a good idea?
No, this is a terrible, terrible idea. We should listen to see if aliens are out there, but we shouldn't be blindly broadcasting our existence.
No.
Because we have resources. Because if you're a society, a civilization that's reached a point where you can broadcast into space a directed message,
right,
you've got some of that tasty stuff, you know, some of those tasty atoms that were made in stars that everyone wants so much out there, like the good ones, rare metal earths. Some of those. And if aliens hear about this, they might think, oh, look at these primitive people who've just worked out how to point a satellite dish at things. Let's go and raid them.
And come and take us on. It says apparently there are a lot of scientists that have gotten together. These are people, very intellectual, scientific, lots of degrees and everything else.
Invited? Can I just check my email? Why was I not invited?
Because you were booked to be in Bath
that's
for the festival.
Yeah.
so Why are we plugging that show of all the shows? Anyway, the thing is, they're worried about all these scientists, very highly educated people, said that they agreed with you because, and they said, quote, it
why
could.
Why do you sound surprised when you say
it could bring the Klingons?
Okay, well, that's, yeah.
So it's like they don't realize it's a TV show, it's not a documentary.
But you writ the right. The reason why these scientists are saying it could bring the Klingons is because they are patronizing every non-scientist. It's one of our favorite hobbies. We go like, oh.
What is patronizing?
Exactly. We are going to be talking to like non-scienty people, and we're like, oh, let's just use stuff from popular culture that these plebs, as we call them.
But clearly you'd want to use the Borg, because they're a lot. We end up becoming friends with the Klingons. So if you really want to scare people, the Borg, I think, scarier than Klingons.
You're damn right. But sexier. 7 of 9. Whoa.
Yeah.
I'm about to have been 10 on the scale.
I don't even need any of the military hardware anymore. just amusing ourselves now.
Beautiful
work. It's like
work.
We're playing with
beautiful
ourselves. So I guess, I mean, if you were going to send a message out there, what message would you send?
Oh,
leave
okay.
us alone. We got nothing here you want.
So if you were going to send them.
Don't look over here.
We should just broadcast a picture of a massive animal just with the words, I live here.
Right? Like nothing here but us chickens.
Yeah, like they do to stop people burgling things.
No, but if we put that sign out, if we send the message, but put the sign out that says, you know, like, no unsolicited mail.
Yeah.
Just say, no unsolicited attacks.
Yes, please.
You have to honor that.
No precious rare metal earths are kept on this planet overnight. And then that way, no one will attack. All right, that's a nice question. You can do this on the Twitter. Tweet at FUBAR Radio. If you were to send a message into space, what would you have it say? I'll tweet that out on the old... Unless you've got like a 30 seconds worth of chit-chat, you can tell me what would you put on a message. I'll get the old Twitter happening.
I think that I'd want to say, yeah, hello, and we'd like to visit and come by and stuff and be cool to hang out. I mean, I wanted to go into space when I was a kid. I actually wrote a letter to President Jimmy Carter because that's when I was a child.
How old are you?
I was 1980 and or 1979, and I was... whatever, 6, 7 years old.
And you thought FDR would be the person to write to?
So I sent a letter to Jimmy Carter, and I invited I said that myself and my family would be happy to be in the space program if they so needed a family. And I got a letter back, and it actually was one of my first gags. I used to take the letter into school, and I would do a fake, it was an impersonation.
Of Jimmy Carter?
Of Jimmy Carter, and I would do the big smile, and I'm like, hi, I'm Jimmy Carter.
So you didn't do a very good impression of Jimmy Carter.
No, it wasn't my forte. But it was, that's the first time I remember trying to do a joke, was my impersonation of Jimmy Carter, and with my letter from him saying that he appreciated my offer of assistance, and if they ever did need a family, they were going to call us. I'm still... I'm still waiting for that call, Jimmy. Still waiting.
I'm so tempted to go outside and pick up the phone and go,
hey there, how are you doing? It's Jimmy Carter. I don't know what it sounds like, but this was your impression.
Well, I was five or six years old.
Hey, Eric.
I should lie, though. I was born in 1990.
I once did a very similar thing. I wrote to say that if they were looking for a family to participate in the space program, I nominated mine, but not including me. So if you want to get into messages into space, what would you have them say? You can tweet at FUBAR Radio. We'll delve into some of those on the way shortly.
Some news with Stephen Allen and Eric McIlroy. Ripping you a news one.
Hello, I'm Stephen Allen. That's Eric McIlroy. Before we delve into another story, where's my wireless mouse? That's not the news. But that is what that was the big problem for me. So we are looking for, we're asking things that you would send out. If you send a message out into space, what message would you have it be? You can tweet at FUBAR Radio. You can get in touch via the email. Oh, and you can call as well, yeah?
And that's a message to outer space, just to clarify.
Of course.
For anyone who's a geek. But we had some people... send in some messages.
Why are you dissing the fact that I like someone who uses outer space appropriately rather than just space?
Pigs in space. Can we get that jingle?
So if you send a message, have a look. We've got some. Nick Gregory says he'd send a message saying, we're trying, okay? Most of us aren't like that, and the ones that are only like that because they don't know yet. So it's basically send an apology.
Mm.
I like that.
It must be English. For British.
I do apologize. Terribly sorry to bother you. Would you mind awfully not invading?
That's a great message. I like that.
And the great thing is then, people, the aliens, I say people, I mean aliens.
Don't be alienistic.
They would think that the entire planet spoke English, which, as we know from science fiction, That is true.
Yes.
Who's this? Oh, I can't. It's in 2718. That is a catchy name you got for yourself on Twitter there.
Maybe he's got an actual name on his profile. Hold on. Nope.
Says he'd send a message in space saying 404 error. Can you help? That's what we should send as well. Jokes into space that aliens don't get because they wouldn't get our references.
But is that an error? Is that an internet error?
Or 404 is page not found, I think.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, because I've got a Mac, so I don't get
you
errors.
You do. It's an HTTP thing.
I was trying
to
imply that aliens use Macs, but that was a step too far.
I'm just going to say, you asked me that question about what is the 404 error, and now it makes it look like I'm a bigger nerd because I know what these errors are.
I mean, the error number... What's error number one?
On to the next story. Midlife crisis. Here is... there's a story about having a midlife crisis. Because we were thinking we need stories that keep us relatable to that young, trendy, sexy demographic that's out there. Are you between... What's the good demographic these days? Like 18 to 24?
45 and up. Let's be honest. They've got more money than you young pups do.
Oh, nuts. Am I meant to be earning more money now I'm getting older?
Well, not in this industry, but...
Yeah, so just to relate to the sexy demographic.
Well, just to give the younger ones out there what they can look forward to, because they, you know, you're young now and you're, you know, still able to process alcohol and go to work the next day and everything else, but you're going to get middle-aged if you're lucky.
You'll be trying to say, which service area was that sells ED pills? No, they don't. They advertise it. They sell the waterless toothbrush in the motorway services. That is a phone in for a different day.
Oh, dear.
To avoid midlife crisis. New evidence suggests middle-aged men feel increasingly trapped by society's expectations. There are possible steps that you can take. I say you, if you are a woman in her 80s, I wouldn't worry about it, to try and deal with this. So, first of all, you are slightly older than me, sir.
Tiny bit, yep.
How many years?
3 or 4 years.
We don't need to. I'm going to
say actual age.
Yeah, we don't need to say actual age. I'm going to write down my actual age.
Well, let's just say I was alive when Jimmy Carter was president.
Hey there, Jimmy Carter. Is that it?
And my letters to President Nixon were unanswered. And
that's because they were tapped. So what's... That's one's mine. So what's our difference between our age?
Almost 4 or 5 years, yeah.
I'm going to write this big down. 5 years.
5 years older. Yep, that's a big five. Big five. I'm closer to the age range that they're calling middle-aged in here. I think what it's saying, the article is saying that we're in a difficult position. I'm going to put us roughly in the same ballpark. Because we're the established norms of the baby boomer generation. So like our parents, men were still a bit more men. But now this Y generation, this young kids, these guys, they're more self-aware and emotionally articulate, apparently.
Are they?
Emotionally articulate. Look at me. I'm a sensitive man. That kind of thing. And we're in between that. Like, I'm a man, but I could still feel my feelings. I don't know what it means. I've never been that manly, so it's difficult for me to say.
Yeah. I almost feel liberated by the fact that I've never given a two hoots about football. You know, I don't really do that whole kind of manly man stuff.
Yeah.
I'm in touch with my feminine side, and by that I mean I shave my legs. What? So, what is the deal? What we're meant to do? So, hang on. So, when does a midlife crisis kick in? If you've had one, get in touch. I need to know about them.
I think according to this, we're fine. Years away from this because it's between age 45 and 59.
I should have been taking a drink right then, so I could have gone 45. All right, I got a while yet.
Yeah, 59 is not middle age though.
Unless you're going to live to 120, what? Not a chance.
I think people are starting to stretch this out now.
Yeah.
I
mean,
here's some good steps for our middle-aged listeners out there, or those who are looking forward to getting middle-aged. One of the things you can do is help somebody worse off than you, which I think is always a nice thing to do.
So we're listing what? Things to do to help prevent a midlife crisis.
That's right.
So obviously, not living beyond 44 would be step one.
Well, no, that would mean that you have your midlife crisis when you're 20.
I think I had my midlife crisis when I was 24, and that's
really
a story for a different day as well.
All right, stuff happened. Did it happen at a service station near Bath?
Like all good love songs, it happened at Newport Pagnell. So, what can we do to avoid this tricky midlife crisis? Is this just for blokes as well?
This is only for men, because women are not covered by this particular article. They've got plenty of things to... This is, it's not about, sorry, it's just about the men.
So five things that could help us avoid the midlife crisis.
A male midlife crisis.
Number one was help someone worse off than you.
Because nothing makes you feel better than realizing there's some schmuck who's doing worse than you.
And that's why people come along to my comedy show at the Bath Festival. They look at me on stage, go, look at that fat dude sweating. All right.
I have to admit, there's nothing more inspiring for a comedian than to see someone else struggling.
It is great, isn't it?
When comedians call each other and they say, how was a gig? We don't want to hear about the good gigs.
No.
You want to hear about the schmuck that died. I'm saying schmuck a lot today. But apparently it's about helping somebody. So you see that person struggling and you help them out. And then in your back of your mind, you're going, I'm not this loser.
Is that what it actually says or is that your opinion?
That is exactly what it says.
It
doesn't quite say that.
I want to help other people with my bad back. Not a chance. All right, come on.
So the next thing is to open up.
With my bad back.
Open up. I don't know if that means sexually. Hold on. To verbalize your feelings. So all right, you're headed towards middle age. It's the tunnel that's bearing down on you. Open your feelings for me, Steve.
Pain. Pain.
Angst.
Why? Why is life so lonely? A long walk through a barren landscape that seems unyielding, unrewarding. Did I choose to start this? Well, this is weird, isn't it? When you start emoting, it really flows.
I think you're not taking this seriously.
Okay.
Next, remember, your career is pointless. And when they say your, they mean yours.
Most men tend to define themselves by what they've achieved in work.
Yeah, that would be difficult. So true. In this particular anecdotal situation. I mean, you know, I can see what they're saying there, but if you're trying to cheer somebody up with these steps of like, I think just slap it. There's another way to say your career is pointless. There's a way to say your career isn't everything. Would be maybe a more positive, affirmative way. I'm just opening up with my feelings here. Following point two, telling me my career is pointless kind of makes me feel a little depressed again.
But do you know, I mean, I totally agree with it that... And this my career is pointless. No, I do. I do. And I've said this to other... I was talking to another comedian saying that comedians are... We're effectively parasitic because we don't really do anything. We just live off the side. You know, we cheer people up. We don't even cheer them up. We make them slightly, temporarily laugh a little bit. It doesn't genuinely improve your mood, really, beyond maybe a day.
No, with the biting social commentary that we do on shows like this.
Yeah, you're right. We don't even make people laugh. So it does... I properly think that the only reason why... And this show shouldn't be just comedians talking about comedy.
No.
But I think comedy... Doing comedy is something that if I hadn't chosen to do it, it wouldn't have asked me to do it. Comedy is something where you just do it because you want to do it. And if anything, it sates the need that we have rather than the audience requires.
Yeah, but I think people need to laugh. I think it's important.
But they do. Have you seen people?
Right, so
this is the deal. This is the worst thing when you're a stand-up, right? You see the first act. Oh, they were a tough crowd. They struggled. They have an interval. People are pissing themselves. And then you go, right, stop your fun. It's part two. People have fun anyway.
I'm not
helping your midlife crisis. Right.
Tell yourself a better story. This is step four in the way to avoid a midlife crisis. There's news of horror and misery in the world, and have a filter to ignore all that. And basically live in denial is what step four is saying, I think. It's fine. It's fine. It's no problem.
So this one is saying just don't pay attention to the news because it brings you down.
I think so.
And we're saying that on some new show on FUBAR Radio?
Yeah, but we got some kittens coming up, don't we? We're going to talk about kittens?
Probably.
We haven't had a hamster story for a while. I think the first episode, did we do a hamster story?
I have no idea what you were talking about.
Sam, could you listen to the last 4 weeks and pick out any hamster stories? So that's about 4 times 3, 12.
We talked about Syria, and I know that's where some hamsters are from.
That's right. Yeah, that's right, because we have a Syrian hamster. Now we can only have one, because if you put two of them together, they fight, because that's how Syrians are. The hamsters, talking about hamsters. Okay, we did that gag. Yeah, we did do that gag. There we go. He's already listened to all 4 weeks.
So you can do a joke.
He's a speed listener. That's amazing.
You can do a joke about Syrians as long as you're doing jokes about the hamsters.
Yeah, animal gags are fine.
You know those dwarf hamsters? I can see how I can get away with some more prejudice stuff. Carry on.
And number five, this is a good one for you to take on, Steve, because who's the old of the two of us there? Who do we say was the
eldest? Let me just check my piece of paper. You're 5 years older than me.
And point number five is listen to your elders. So, sonny boy, let daddy tell you a story.
Here we go.
Back in my day when I was riding to Jimmy Carter, things were so different.
We went to space, not just outer space. I don't know where are we getting that voice from.
Because that's now your accent.
Old man Eric is here to tell you youngsters.
This is like the start
it's
of...
It's not that bad out there.
It's like in... Interstellar.
I haven't seen Interstellar.
Let me tell you about the good old times.
I haven't seen any films because of my children. So basically, you know, for men who experience a crisis in midlife, there's a tendency to reconnect with their youth. So basically it's saying, don't go try and party. Don't try and, you know, try and date younger women or do all those kind of ridiculous things. Mm. Just accept your age and embrace your wisdom.
No.
Are you trying to pass
the
stone?
The one thing I was looking forward to in a midlife crisis. I ain't going to grow a ponytail. Mother Nature has ruined my hairstyle options already. Cheers. But I was looking forward. I get a motorbike. I can't ride one. And I get a younger lady. Can't ride one.
Why don't you get a younger motorbike?
I get a younger motorbike.
New motorbike.
Yeah, a new model and try and ride that.
Something to ride. We both went for the same bad pun. Right.
Don't like
so
that
basically,
story.
Don't get old is the takeaway from that story, I think.
You were saying about trying to avoid bad news, and you brought that little humdinger of a turd into my life. Brilliant.
Listen to your elders.
Right. Well, I think we've dealt with midlife crises on the way. Oh, we've still got death to talk about. It's true.
Some news with Steve N. Allen and Eric McIlroy. Some news, some jokes.
Well, look at that. Already 25 to 12. Sweet mercy, time flies. And hello, good morning. I'm Steve N. Allen. That's Eric McIlroy. Welcome to Some News on FUBAR Radio. You can get in touch. Keep the tweets coming through on things. If you're going to send a message into space, what would you have it say? At FUBAR Radio. For your tweets. We'll do a few of these before we delve into the next little section because we've got some nice ones. Hello, Dave Scott sends a tweet saying he wants to broadcast the message. If found, please return to number 10 Downing Street, London. Because nice. We own the planet. Thank you very much. Used to be true, not anymore. The Red Top says it's a bit nippy up here. That might have been a reply to one of my earlier tweets. Why would you say that? Why would you say that as a message?
Well, no, I mean, I guess that's a nice message to send because if we're trying to send, we're here, but it's a bit chilly. So if you do
avoid,
come,
please don't invade.
And it's been cold in America.
Planet Leasty. I'm aware of Planet Leasty on the Twitter. He lives in my former neck of the woods, the Ashfield area.
Ah, the Ashfield area.
The messages he'd broadcast would be, hello, is this thing on? Or I like his second one even better. If you're going to send a message out into space, it would be single women near your planet now. That's it. Spam those aliens. Right, let's delve into the next one. People who sleep more than 8 hours. Bad news for you, I'm afraid. Now, how many hours sleep did you get last night, Emac?
Six. Five and a half, six.
Fine, it's not a reverse auction. I can't do the maths. Seven. I got 7 hours sleep.
I can see why you didn't make it as a scientist.
Yeah, I got 7 hours sleep. I feel pretty boosted on it. So maybe this is good. I thought maybe I should have aimed for eight or more. Might not be the wisest move, and we can find out now by speaking to Dr. Neil Stanley, an independent sleep expert. Neil, hello.
Good morning.
Hello, good morning. So you are an independent sleep expert. The obvious first intro question, how many hours sleep did you get last night?
Seven.
Okay.
Same as me.
Good.
Which is less than I usually get.
Whistling. All right.
Do you what do you normally go for?
I would hope to get nine.
Wow. Ooh. Get a job. What? No, sorry. But it seems, though, according to a new piece of research, this holy grail of aiming for more than 8 hours sleep, the beauty sleep which we all need, might not be good for us. Can you talk us through it?
Well, this is a very big study that's been done in Norfolk, looking at people, and the actual point of the study was looking at risk for cancer. So it's a massive study looking at a stable population. But what they did find, doing a secondary analysis, they did find that people who have long sleep have a higher rate of or a higher chance of having stroke. Now, that it doesn't imply causation. That doesn't mean if you sleep longer that you will, put yourself at risk.
It
could be for many, many factors as to why.
So it could be the other way around. It could be that people who are more likely to have a stroke also are more likely to sleep.
Absolutely. So this isn't, you know, as I say, I'm a 9 hour a night person. That's what I'd like. I certainly wouldn't change my sleep pattern.
But I mean, this might be bad for you.
Research.
I was going to say you should see a doctor, but you are one. So I was going to say check yourself out before you rate yourself out.
But the thing is, the same thing is, you know, I'm 6'5" tall. Now, if you look, being tall increases your risk of various illnesses. There's nothing I can do about being 6'5", which would reduce my risk of these illnesses. And sleep need is actually genetically determined in the same way that height is. So if you are a long sleeper, then you need to get a good night's sleep each and, you know, that amount of sleep each and every night for you to feel good. And, you know, so you cut down on your sleep because of this risk of stroke, but then you're going to massively increase your risk of diabetes, obesity, heart disease, accidents at work. So, you know, you need to get the sleep each and every night that you need. Now, you know, the 8 hours is an average. It's not an ideal. We shouldn't all be getting 8 hours sleep. We should be getting the amount that works for us as an individual.
Right. So you say that sleep need is genetically determined and height is genetically determined. Is there a correlation? Do taller people sleep longer than shorter people?
Do you know, I in 33 years of being involved in sleep, I don't think I've ever been asked that question, and I have no idea what the answer is.
You could do another PhD in that,
yeah.
I think, because that's the whole point of a PhD. I mean, you have to find a question no one's ever asked before.
If you want to go in on this research together, I'm more than willing. I mean, I'm not as tall as you, but I'm 6'2", so somehow we could get some stats from this.
And I'm 5.
Oh, absolutely.
I'm 5'7" and a bit, so I could be your counter study. I think if it was just the three of us, well, that's enough research to make
fact, isn't it?
Absolutely.
3 points, you can draw a straight line.
Yes.
We could do a double blind study and just forget how tall we are.
All right. So I have I'm going to ask a sleep question then, because
enough sleep, Eric. For the love of God,
I can't even make a sentence. So because of the comedy stuff that I attempt to do, I end up going to bed quite late. And then because of the children's stuff that I've created, I end up having to get up quite early, which means I tend to nap. In the last few years, I nap almost every day. That's the only way I can survive.
So is napping good for your health or not?
Is that if I'm breaking the sleep, because I'm, you know, if I pick up that extra bit of sleep, so I only slept probably 6.5 hours in the nighttime. But then
we get the concept. Let Neil answer the question.
Sorry.
You tired man. Is napping good or bad for you?
If you are sleepy, then napping is the best thing you can do. But the real thing is, you shouldn't be sleepy. You should be getting the sleep at night. We were designed to sleep at night, so that's when we should be sleeping. Napping during the day is certainly better than relying on, you know, coffee or you know, Red Bull to stay awake during the day. So get a nap if you have to, but really you shouldn't be needing a nap, because you should be getting the sleep at night that you need.
So would you? Because that would be nice then, if I could sleep in the morning a bit. Would you mind getting my kids to school for me? Or some, can you know anyone that can help with that? Because that is a real problem.
Right now, you could actually get a letter from a doctor wife saying you need to sleep in for health reasons.
Off air, I'm gonna give you my address, okay? And then if I could get that pass, that would be amazing. I'll give it to my wife.
So how can you work out what your sleep requirement is?
You can go into an isolation chamber for 42 days, and we can find that out scientifically. The easy way, though, is if you are awake during the day, you've had enough sleep. So if you feel, you know, around 11 o'clock in the morning, if you feel, you know, pretty good, awake, alive, happy, then you've had enough sleep. If you're feeling, you know, a bit sleepy, you want to go to sleep, then you're probably not getting enough sleep. So you should be awake during the day. And if you're not, then you've probably got something going on with your sleep.
I like the sound of this chamber idea. I mean, it's better than holiday. So we are a different sides of the table. So Eric is a napper. I don't nap during the day. So according to what you've said so far, it looks like, you know, win for Steve. I am a user of energy drinks. Now that might be why. I mean, I feel amazing at 11 o'clock, because at 10:58 I have a large can of Red Monster, and then, you know, life, the colours are brighter. But is that even worse for me? Is that screwing up my sleep?
Yeah, I mean, some people can be very sensitive to caffeine, and that is a problem. But yeah, we never evolved to take caffeine. I mean, caffeine has only been in our diet for 300 years when we started getting coffee houses, which actually did allow people for the first time to start going through the night quite easily, because they, even 300 years ago, were relying on caffeine. But we shouldn't really be doing that. I mean, because, as I say, if you are sleepy, what you need is sleep. You don't actually need stimulation. So relying on these things to get us through the day really isn't a good thing.
Because I often find getting stimulated makes me sleepy.
Well, you can actually caffeine can, if you have too much caffeine can actually act as a sedative. So too much caffeine will actually start trying to put you to sleep.
Do you know what? This is amazing, because the first time I used to have energy, I used to have an overnight job. I was writing jokes for some for a different radio station, and for the first year of that, I'd stayed awake by chugging the energy drinks and found I couldn't sleep in the day. So I did this horrible time of not having no caffeine in my diet for about another year and a half, and I was like a bore. I don't even drink, so I had no caffeine as well. I was a nightmare. I can, you know, when you can, I don't smoke. I could just preach to anyone. I was a right git. But then I didn't have energy drinks for loads of years. I had the first one about a year ago. And when I got back to the house, because I went for a walk, had an energy drink, and I slept for hours as soon as I got in, and I thought I was broken. But that's a thing, is it, that an energy drink could help you sleep?
Too much caffeine does actually potentially act as a sedative, and again, I say what the issue is, we all have an individual tolerance to caffeine. Some people, you know, can drink 10 cups of strong black coffee a day and have absolutely no problems. Others, you know, just a whiff of a cappuccino and they're going to be sparky on it. So it's all about the individual. It's about finding the right dose. And there is quite a lot of caffeine in some of these energy drinks, whereas in the past, of course, we relied on things like coffee, and the amount of caffeine in coffee is very, very variable. So you could actually be drinking what you thought was a lot of caffeine or in your coffee and getting none. So it's these energy drinks that are giving people a controlled dose of caffeine. And you're taking caffeine, so that may help. But the effects of caffeine only last for 30 minutes anyway. So it's not a good way to get through the day. And, of course, it does have effects. Certain functional energy drinks are actually banned in a number of countries because of the high levels of caffeine and the thought that this can have problems with the heart. So they're not a wise way of getting through the day.
I did some gigs in Estonia, and they have energy drinks over there that you can't get over here.
Ooh.
And one of them, and I'm glad I now get to speak to an independent sleep expert, one of them was an energy drink that included cannabis. Does that wake one up? Should that have made me more peppy?
That's a bit weird. Yeah. I mean, I know of one in Germany that you can actually buy at German motorway service stations, particular ones, that is actually a mixture of energy drink and lager.
And we can't get that in this country. That is a shame.
Strangely.
Oh, yeah. So I can give you the results, the cannabis energy drink. Made me feel very weird. I went for a walk, and then I was sat there in a coffee shop going, I shouldn't be out. I feel weird. I need to grow up.
You got a little paranoid?
Yeah, I got very paranoid.
Did you think MI5 was watching?
I was in
you?
A country that was right on the border with Russia, and there'd been some issues, so that was the wrong time for it. Listen, Dr. Neil Stanley, thank you very much. An independent sleep expert, thank you for giving us the info. So we shouldn't worry too much about this survey saying that if you have more than 8 hours sleep, you stand more of a chance of a stroke. Just let yourself have the right amount of kip, and then good job.
And then we'll talk about taking my kids to school later.
Absolutely.
Thanks very much.
Pleasure. Cheers.
So if you can get yourself in a, what's it called? Isolation chamber.
42 days.
42 days
without having to take the kids to school.
Hey, beautiful work.
I love my children, and I love taking them to school, in case my wife is listening.
Some news with Steve Ann Allen and Eric McIlroy. Some news, some bullshit.
Good morning. I'm Steve Ann Allen with Eric McIlroy on Some News on Fubar Radio. So we're delving into some of the stuff that's in the news. A question earlier, as we were debating whether you should try and contact aliens, what message would you send? Robin says, please send coffee and cake. Yes, I'm all over that. And Paul Badley says he'd send a message saying, if you are coming here, don't bother, it's shite. Well,
oh, that's...
you are never going to get a job.
I mean, well, I guess if you're worried about the Klingons coming, that's the best way. It's like, oh, no, there's nothing here to steal or nothing.
Yeah.
I mean, do it in a squeaky voice.
If ever there is an Earth-based tourist information office, that dude should not be employed there. Right, let's delve into another story. Andrew Flintoff in the news today talking about drinking and depression. This is great. This is almost like a theme on this show. Quite a lot we debate whether drinking is bad for society. Now we're looking at whether it's bad for us or not. Because Eric drinks, I don't. When Luke was in, he's a non-drinker.
I'm not drinking at the moment because I'm trying to defat myself.
And also not during the show, as that would be unprofessional.
Oh, yeah.
But to find out more, we're joined by Amanda Owens, a leading sports psychologist from, and I like this, this is a long title, from the British Olympic Association Psychology Advisory Panel. Hello!
Hello there. That's the previous British Olympic Association Advisory Panel. But, yes, hello, how are you?
So what's your official title now?
I'm leading sports psychologist, but I'm credited and chartered.
Are you?
Ooh, wow.
Someone's accredited and chartered.
Okay.
So, what's been happening with this story? Andrew's been saying some stuff.
Okay, yes. Well, what we know is that obviously a number of professional cricketers and athletes are now talking about and making the public more aware that actual professional sports people and Olympic sports people suffer from depression and they're not immune to it. And it's a very crippling... It's a crippling. I hate to say the word. It's not an illness per se, but it is. But it's about increasing awareness of depression. And Andrew has suffered from it for quite a long time.
I guess we find that surprising because quite often you hear about how exercise is a good therapy for mood. And I know depression isn't simply a case of cheering up your mood, but one of the things that doctors are told to say, I think, I'm not a leading sports psychologist at all here, but is that exercise is a good thing to do.
No, absolutely. I mean, there's a lot of research and poignant research about the importance of exercise with comparative therapy and in severe cases with obviously medication. But in Andrew Flintoff's case, and indeed Jonathan Trott and a few other athletes who've openly, you know, are openly discussing that they suffer from depression, is that, you know, top athletes, professional athletes, there's a lot of research to show that it's linked with perfectionism and high expectancy theory.
Ooh.
And, you know, it's, yeah, so successful athletes aren't immune to it at all.
I was going to say, do you have any stats about the levels of the frequency, the incidence? Because you would have guessed that maybe depression is, you know, it still happens, but is less prevalent in the sports people. People who exercise a lot, but you bring in this angle of perfectionism, which is something that sports people borderline have a problem with. So, you got any stats? Is it more likely to happen to sporting greats?
Well, I mean, I haven't got exact stats, but there does seem to be more cases and more athletes that are actually, you know, discussing it. In the fact that the research shows there's a prevalence with athletes, high-performing athletes and, you know, successful athletes, due to the fact of their personality types and their perfectionistic nature, that will lend itself possibly to depression or high anxiety.
Mm.
My PhD research was looking at relationships between depression and Olympic athletes in different sports. And what I posited and what I concluded was that actually underperformance syndrome, or UPS as we call it, which is like overtraining syndrome, is the same as depression. But you see, coaches... Well, we're very wary, still are to a certain extent. They call, you know, depression's regarded as rather taboo still. Although, you know, there has been a change and a massive shift in people's perceptions, and I'd like to point that out in different sports. You know, within the ECB, the cricket board, within Olympic sports, people are much more, and coaches are much more aware of the prevalence and that depression exists. But it's getting education out there and also noticing the symptoms.
Are all sports people, as in the different disciplines of sports, likely to be as perfectionistic, is that a word or am I just making that up? You know where I'm going with this. But are there some sports that are more likely to have perfectionists excel in those sports?
Well, what we know is that in cricket, there's a high incidence and there are stats, which I haven't got my hands on right now, but there's actually a book that was written about depression in cricket and the suicides in cricket. It's due to the nature of the sport, But, you know, I've worked with a number of professional Olympic athletes, and it just doesn't lend itself to cricket. But, you know, it can happen in any sport. And it's a crippling, depression can be terribly crippling. And if an athlete is suffering from depression as well, and then they retire, or they've got a severe injury and they have to, you know, stop their sport.
That change,
and, you know, absolutely. And it exacerbates the symptoms. So it's really important that the governing bodies really, really take heed of this and put clinical psychologists or sports psychologists in place, so that, you know, they can help and support athletes, professional athletes and Olympic athletes, to overcome this and manage it. Because, you know, it's very difficult, and you know Andrew's had to deal with this for a long time.
So here today he was saying it's kind of links it to drink. I mean, there was a story in the newspaper a while ago about him being rescued after he was drunk in charge of a pedalo, and but he said these are all behind him. He's quitting the booze. There's a nice line where he says you drink to try and change how you feel, and that's just bad. So yep. Is there a link? I mean, is he saying that there's a link between drinking because you are likely to suffer with depression, or does drinking make it worse? I guess maybe both of those.
Well, we know that drinking does make it worse, because obviously it exacerbates the negative mood states. And it's what happens with depression, it's to do with your serotonin levels, which are the brain chemicals. And you need to, they get lower. Oh. So, you know, the rushes that sports people get when they're successful, you know, and Andrew Flintoff had many fantastic, successful performances. I mean, I was privileged to be there at the Oval when we won the Ashes back in 2005 and stuff. So, you know, it was wonderful. And so, but it's about understanding how the brain chemicals work, and neuroscience, but also understanding how you need to manage your mood. And yet, to answer your question, you know, alcohol, unfortunately, can make it worse, much worse.
That's fine for me. As a non-drinker, that doesn't bother me at all. Eric over there, not quite so good for him.
Well, yeah, I've been lucky not to have the problems with depression, because I don't do any exercise at all. So,
and he's also not a perfectionist, as you can tell by listening to this show.
So I've avoided both that. I have no goals or aspirations for success. I don't exercise. I'm very happy.
Do you like music, though?
Yeah, music's fine.
Oh, is there a
link? Is there a music correlation as well?
Music can elevate mood states, but obviously it can be a mood management strategy. But it's the exercise and motivation. It's understanding really the triggers of depression as well. But it's getting the right help.
It's tricky. So music can elevate your mood states, but I'm a big fan of Morrissey, so I think we are right back to square one.
Yes, absolutely.
One step forward, one step back. Amanda, so you're saying that the government or whatever you say in the leading body should get sports psychologists involved. That sounded like you were offering your services. Amanda Owens, if they need a leading sports psychologist, they should come speak to you.
Well, I think that's very kind of you. I mean, a number of sports psychs are in place, but there needs to be an increased awareness, quite frankly, of the triggers and what depression is, and that top sports people like Freddie Flintoff and like Jonathan Trott and a number of other athletes are not immune. They suffer too, and it's about putting the right strategies and awareness out there so they get the right help.
Brilliant.
It can be crippling.
Amanda Owens, yes, thank you very much for joining us and giving us the information.
Cheers. Thank you very much.
So there you go, Eric. In some ways, bad news for you. The drinking is not good for your mood. Good news for you. You don't need to worry about perfectionism.
Yep. And I'm not. I mean, the cricket depression correlation is interesting. I think. I mean, I've always found watching cricket.
No, come on. Right, it's 12 o'clock on the way. In the next hour, we'll start delving into the slightly stranger of the news stories.
Some news with Stephen Allen and Eric McIlroy. Some news, some bullshit.
Hello, good morning. Good afternoon. First time to get it wrong. Took it, enjoyed it. Hello, I'm Stephen Allen, joined with Eric McIlroy.
Hello.
For the power that is some news. Any news, we'll deal with it in some news. On Fubar Radio.
And this show is actually going to be bundled up into an audio file and sent into the outer space.
Yes.
As a message to the world.
No, we can genuinely
do it. To the non-world.
To the non-world. If there's one place we don't want to send this message to aliens, it's to the world. apart from the ones that are already here telling Putin what to do. If you missed that, it's in the early part of the show.
Exactly, they're wasting their time sending these messages out into the outer space because they're already here. They're already providing American technology to Russians.
If you missed that bit, you can listen to the first hour by getting the app, and there's a listen again thing. You can listen to the show pretty much not long, as soon as we're off air, within like flipping
it's
20
quick,
minutes.
Isn't it? Yeah, this technology thing, they've got these workers.
Well, it's alien technology, which they got from America. You can tweet at FUBAR Radio if you want to get in touch. You know, we might as well just delve into another story.
Judge halts robbery trial after holy book mix-up. A judge was forced to discharge a jury and order a retrial after quote-unquote incompetence led to a Muslim witness being sworn in on the Bible rather than the Quran.
Yeah.
I know you've got some non-religious feeling. Now this is not, before we get into this, because this I think could actually be, because we do, I want to be considerate.
We try not to offend.
Try not to offend.
Just happens.
But Steve is now going to be offensive. Steve, take it away.
And I would, I'd say this all over Twitter. I'm amazed I've not seen this story before. Shouldn't really matter which book of made-up stuff you put your hand on. The legal system should have nothing to do with religion. It's all right. If our legal system is entwined in religion, as someone who is not religious, does that mean, like, your laws do not apply to me? It's like watching Hitchcock's Rope, just because I don't...
But if people have beliefs...
Can I pick my own book, then, to be sworn in on?
I think you can just swear an oath. You don't have to have a book.
Could I have, those people who tick Jedi on the census forms, can they get like the box set of the Star Wars? Obviously not the three episodes 1 to 3, because they were rubbish. Jar Jar Binks can jog on. Yep, carry on.
I can solve this problem. Okay. This whole problem in the future, right? Bible, Quran, Jedi manual, just do it on a Kindle. They're all in there. And it doesn't have to be Kindle. You could do. Oh, I mean, good. I should the iBook, whatever it is, on my Mac thingies.
Is it Kobo Reader?
Is there that probably wouldn't work. But I mean, definitely. So they're all the books.
I love that. By the way, we've just got like your silly books with your silly religion. We don't want to offend people who aren't reading on a Kindle because there are other e-readers are available.
until we're getting that sweet, sweet Kindle endorsement money, which we're happy to do. We will sell anything on this show. If you have some money and you would like it to be featured, I mean, are there anything we won't try and sell?
I've got the Kindle. I also had the other app.
The other one.
Because I was going to do an ebook, and I wanted to make sure it was available on both.
Now, there was a good quote in this story. Yeah. Hold on. You just talk about something while I find it exactly.
Yeah, no, I just think it's ridiculous that it's just making you promise, isn't it? Why can't we just do a pinky swears?
People have beliefs, and there's nothing wrong with those beliefs.
Yeah, and I believe if I do it with my... With well, cross keys, I can tell lies, but that's not how it works. You don't get to lie in court because you have a... I touched the wrong book, and I'm trying to think of other things. I bagsied something. I bagsied that I could lie, and therefore I got away with it because I bagsied first. And them's the rules. You bagsy first, no cross keys. No bagsies.
The judge ordered the retrial because he didn't want the jury to think that they might be totally incompetent. So it's okay for juries to think that you're slightly incompetent because that's just the way the justice system is. But
it is.
If you hit total incompetence, retrial.
Beautiful work. Genius. Obviously, you brought that story to the table. I knew I was going to get
just
angry
so that
about
we
it.
Might get a complaint.
No, my problem is that we have this whole kind of like, oh, it's about religious. Let's all be over cautious. Oh, it's the courts should you shouldn't be lying in court. And it doesn't matter if you touch the wrong
whatever
book.
The book is.
Yeah,
yeah. I mean, but it is interesting. I mean, it does remind us that you know we think we get into modern citing technology and all these things, but then we still go back to fundamentals with things like our legal system, where you have to swear on an ancient text, in order to say that you're going to do something honestly.
Do you know the word testify? Testify. Do you know what the word testify means?
From the testament.
No. That would have been. That sounds good. Like you're putting your hand on a testament. No. It comes from the Roman days when, before telling the truth and you know saying your part of the story, the Roman person. Because it would be a gentleman back in
the Roman
days.
Times, it would have been a Roman.
Would hold their testes.
You know, that would be one way to make people, at least the men.
I would say, look, listen, court, because I think that's how you call them. I'm not religious, so your Bible is no good to me. Your other books no good to me. The dictionary I'm a big fan of, but wouldn't really. Apparently, I can't use the dictionary. I will give my evidence to the court. Doing that whole kind of grabbing myself. I got your evidence right here. Oh.
Maybe people should take an oath on 50 Shades of Grey.
Okay.
Because, you know, there's a little bit of S&M in there, a little bit of threatening your testes. Nope, not going for that. Oh, I took it too far.
We had an angle there for a second. And then somehow, yeah, I went to court. I swore on 50 Shades of Grey, yeah. Which actually means if they find you guilty of perjury, they genuinely could whip your ass, yeah. And it's your own fault that what you did.
That's where it's taken that. There was logic to that. I was spinning off you. We were riffing. It was going places.
Next story. Poo. This story is about poo. A livid couple were left in a mess after a driver from delivery firm Yodel took a poo in their garden and wiped with a courtesy card. Oh.
I think that if you're going to take a poo... Yeah. In a garden, which most people would think is not a courteous thing to do,
yep.
At least to use the courtesy card.
That adds a level of politeness to it. 40-year-old Nigel Lovell and his 36-year-old wife, Jane, were stunned to discover the special delivery, they mean poo, alongside the dirtied, sorry, you weren't in card.
So how do they know it was poo and not chocolate?
I remember I used to try and do that joke on stage saying, sorry, I've been feeling shit today. In my defence, I thought it was chocolate. And that one never worked. Yodel have sacked the driver, whose actions are yet to be explained. Well, I mean, not really. It's a dirty protest, and he probably wanted to... That's the thing. It definitely is a dirty protest. If he just needed the toilet, then you'd have just gone behind a bush, and you wouldn't have used...
Well, have you ever been to Waltham Forest in East London? We don't know what their front garden looked like. I'm not saying it's not Richmond upon Thames, is it?
Right there. Hang on. Whoa. It doesn't matter where you live. No one should be pinching off some cake in your garden there. No.
No, but we don't know what their garden looks like. It might look like a place that you could have, you know, you're a dry... someone needs to stand up for this man because he works for a company that no one's ever heard of. Have you ever heard of this company?
I have, yes.
All right. Well, no one has ever heard of it. And
no need for that.
And he's on the road... probably 12, 13 hours a day,
yeah.
And you need a poo. And maybe you drive by. I'm not saying
a drive-by pooing. What?
And I'm not saying maybe. I'm just giving a possible hypothesis that would allow for this.
Yeah.
And I obviously, if they have a lovely garden, I'm sorry to Nigel and Jane.
Fertilizing.
But, yeah. But maybe their garden, I don't know what their garden looked like. That's all I'm saying.
But.
If they've got like a car in their front yard.
It doesn't matter whether you've got a fridge. It doesn't matter if you've got a fridge and you it's not a
corpse.
Toilet. And the only way people should be allowed to do poops in your toilet is if there is a toilet there and a big advert for erectile dysfunction pills. And some guy with a flubby ear, if you missed what that was about, listen to the listen again thing on the app. So, this is ridiculous. Clearly, it was a dirty process, not in the toilet, because it's the wiping with the sorry you weren't in card.
That does maybe... seem like. I mean, but maybe it's like, oh, he knocked and they weren't there and he just...
Stop trying to defend this dude.
You know what? He's like, I don't give a shit. And then
he proves himself wrong. I get annoyed with my postman for leaving those little red elastic bands everywhere like he's got some kind of a problem. They're flipping everywhere. Clearly, I think because where the house is... I'm probably the first, as soon as they go away from their little bundle, so they've got loads of post in red elastic bands, I'm the first one that gets unwrapped, and then they just leave. It just looks like there's, it looks like a branch of Ryman's.
There's rubbers everywhere.
I forget.
Do you?
We get to this stage in the show, and it's just all sex jokes, isn't it?
It's puns. I'm working on my puns.
The one thing that would have been worse than this guy doing the poops in their garden and then using the "sorry you weren't in" card is if he just left the "sorry you weren't in," and then this poor couple, Nigel and Jane, had to fit into their own time an opportunity to go down to the posting office, and they go, "Oh, here's my card," and they just hand them a poo.
Yep, that would be more effort to it. This guy took the easy way out.
That's what's wrong with modern day society.
I mean, yeah, what he should have done is if once he'd had the poo in their garden is he should have had a little plastic baggie to pick it up.
So, there's no question off the back of that to get in touch with. If you want to, you can at FooBar Radio.
No, do you think it's right to poo in people's garden? Call now.
That would be quite the topic, yeah. The hot debate on radio. Should you be allowed to poo in other people's gardens. 0330 223 0200.
We're not going to get a call on that.
Right, I tell you what, we'll do a song, and then it's crazy news from America. We'll see what Mary's got for us on the way.
Some news with Steve N. Allen and Eric McIlroy. Some news, some jokes.
Good morning. No, good afternoon. No. Oh, don't. Oh, don't. If you want to get in touch, I am Stephen Allen. That's Eric McElroy. This is some news on FUBAR Radio. You can tweet to at FUBAR Radio. Let's have a look to the tweets. So we're talking about the... I genuinely get upset when we just have this insistence on religion playing a role that is more than it really should have. We should have logic. Oh, obviously, as a big fan of logic, it's been a sad weekend for me. So the story was of someone... There was a wrong book for the wrong person. They swore in on the wrong book, and therefore they have to just dismiss the entire trial. Matt Smith on Twitter says, if they believe that a beardy weirdy turned water into wine, their reliability as a witness to anything is a bit suspect. Controversial. But thank you very much for your comments.
And just to say that it's Jesus who turned the water into wine, so we're safe from any upset people.
I mean,
but we're not talking about the other guy.
I mean, water into wine is easy. It is your basic GCSE chemistry fermentation process.
I've seen Pete Furman, fantastic comic magician. I've seen him do it.
Turn water into wine.
Yep.
And then, so you write a book about it. You write a pamphlet about Pete Furman's Edinburgh show, and I'll swear in on that next time I'm in court, which I think is next week. Then there's Jane. Oh, that's harsh. Jane says that we're talking. Well, I'm not going to say that. There's a different Jane. Jane Logan says, didn't realise. Oh, I think she's about me wearing a dress. Don't worry about that. Nothing wrong with me wearing a dress. What?
Okay.
So, all right, we are still delving into some more crazy stories. Let's see what this one is.
Pornhub's wank band encourages masturbating for the environment. Like I needed any reason to be encouraged to masturbate.
Wait a minute. Masturbating for the environment.
Hey, that's... Was it going to help climate change? The environment? She is well fit. Pornhub presents the wank band. Wearable tech that purportedly generates energy when you, for whatever reason, move your arm in an up and down motion.
No whistle. Really?
Yeah.
So this thing... It generates electricity.
Dirty energy, according to the article. dirty energy. Talk to me about solar power. Go on. Do it.
This is great. So you can produce electricity by...
Guilt-free. Guilt-free electricity.
Well, you say guilt-free. Depends what pictures you're looking at, don't
it? Oh, yeah. Be careful.
Yeah. All right. So how does it work?
Well, apparently Pornhub, who also could sponsor the show, if they wanted to, decided to do something about introducing all that wasted energy, apparently, and they're introducing the Wank Band, the first wearable tech that allows you to love the planet by loving yourself. I think it's also known as the Apple Watch.
Hey, that's true. All right. Now, I like this as an idea. So it's got a weight in it, and then as you move your hand in whatever kind of motion one would use, I think we all have our own preferred one, then it builds up electricity, a little bit of a generator in there, and then you could charge up your phone.
Yeah. I like their tagline. They've got the power. It's in your hand.
I bet it is. I mean, to be honest, I think this is fantastic. I know what's going off in my life right now, so I would not only be able to charge my phone and all the other tech that I've got, I could give back to the grid, and which would be genuinely saving the planet, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I mean, you could power things yourself, and then if you started dropping off to the... Because there is a shortage of UK donated sperm, because a lot of times... I think, did we cover this on the show?
We've never covered UK donated sperm on the show.
Because I can't remember where we talked about this, but most sperm donations in the UK are imported from America and the Netherlands, or Denmark.
This is one of our gigs. I think it's Netherlands.
So, which explains the reason for the increased obesity in this country. But and all those wooden shoes. I can't remember what the other country was that we went for a stereotype. I think that was on News 500, which you can watch on YouTube with Steve. I think we did cover that on News 500, which you can watch on YouTube.
I thought it was one of our live shows every Tuesday near Waterloo. No, I think it generally was, because there's a bit where we get the audience to suggest stories. Was it not an audience member who
picked that one? It might have been on our Tuesday show, or it could have been on our YouTube show, News 500.
We are plugging our own stuff. So if we could strap one of these wank bands to ourselves whilst we self-promote, Yeah, we could solve the energy crisis.
I mean, well, when I was a teenager, we wouldn't have needed that nuclear power plant near our house. Anyway.
That would have sorted out that old China crisis situation.
Should we move on?
Yeah, and there's no phoning off the back of that one. Fair enough. Let's move on. So that was a weird-ass story. This one, I think, is even less. I reckon I'm holding in my hands the most pointless of all stories.
Wow.
Jilted husband leaves awkward positive hotel review on behalf of cheating wife and her lover. A jilted husband has left a hotel a hilariously awkward 5-star review. It's nice that he went with 5 stars. Writing from the perspective of his unfaithful wife and her lover. Thanking West Grove Hotel, based in the Irish town of Clain, who knows, around 40 kilometres, it doesn't matter where it is.
Kilometres? I mean, what's a kilometre?
The ruffle man claims in his review that his wife and her boss used his credit card to pay for their stay. Oof, that's the really annoying thing here, right? Infidelity, whatevs. With your boss, makes sense.
Pay for your own infidelity.
Yeah, pay for your own beep fidelity, you beep.
It's digital different
tones.
Radio.
I do different tones for different swears.
If we're going to do the beep, can we at least get a beep, Sam? We need a beep.
No, as you say, you don't need to edit. This is uncensored radio, but it's censored Steve. The radio's not edited.
But having a good beep, because that beep was a bit shit. Your whistle thing earlier was nice.
That beep was a good beep. you beep-faced beep hole.
I'm amusing myself now.
So, he said, here's the thing, the reviewer who says he worked for a photography company on his Google Plus page. Oh, that's how you slam someone. Yeah, yeah, I'm going to write about you on my Google Plus page. 3 people will read it. I'm one of them. Yeah. Beep.
They're going to give up on Google Plus at some point, aren't they?
Well, they gave up on Google Buzz, didn't they?
Yep. So, you think they're going to stick into it because they like can't give up again sort of thing?
No, I think they don't stand a chance, do they? They're better off just earning a few more billion and just buying Twitter. Anyway, that's off topic. Yeah, so this person gave a review of the place. He said they were well rested after drinking at the bar and having sex in the lovely bath before resuming on the luxurious double bed.
He does seem to know a lot about what the wife and the lover got up to. I mean, how would you know specifically? I mean, unless maybe he's into this kind of thing.
Oh, dear.
No, don't judge. Look, you can judge the Christians and the other people swearing in on their books.
But anyone
don't judge the people that want to, you know, enjoy their spouses having a nice evening.
I'm judging this pervert for being on Google Plus.
The issue is clearly how they paid for it. I did do the research on this, actually, because I want to see if the...
Well, you went to the hotel and did some infidelity. You prepare for this show way more than I do.
I wouldn't be able to find it because it's some 40 kilometers from something. I'd be like, where's a kilometer? I don't understand. I went to Google to see if this was actually still there. And the timeliness of this news story, the guy posted the comment 10 months ago.
Wow.
So this is topical. But there is another review on the website about the hotel that said there were no straw crisps or chocolate. The girlfriend not happy other than that good. Which again, I'm just like, these hotels, I mean, bless them. They can't win. They can't take care of this person's infidelity without getting a little bit of slack. A little bit of slack for not having chocolate. And I mean, maybe this guy who posts about the chocolate, spend more time focusing on your girlfriend than posting just stupid ass.
Yeah. Or just turn up there with your boss to have some freaky deaky time, and then you'll be less bothered about the lack of chocolate.
I mean, do they even have chocolate in Ireland?
Okay. You can tweet to, it's reached that stage of the show. Got to be careful. At FooBar Radio, you can email steve@foobarradio.com. Jane M gets in touch. So we were talking about the thing that you put on your wrist that generates energy from your... it's another word for masturbation. Masturbation. She says, OMG, you could get electrocuted when you get to the vinegar strokes. Well, that's... it's truth. And good point. Well made. So you keep your tweets coming through on that. I'm sure they've thought of that. I'm sure it's...
Where are we at here? We got another story coming up?
We could do another story, or we could get some... phone. Look at it, it's 27. All right, we'll do another story.
We'll do another story. All right.
Delve in for a story.
Oh, here we go. Thieves caught on CCTV bringing child along with them on a sweet robbery. Now, makes this story even sweeter is that it happened in Mansfield, which is Steve and Alan's hometown. Now, I thought they had guns in Mansfield.
No, this is what people, you will get confused. Oh, you're just so prejudiced. Nottingham is the gun crime capital. Ah, thank you very much.
Right.
Mansfield and the surrounding areas, we go for basic thuggery. It's got a high murder rate, but that is good old-fashioned hitting people with our fists.
With bags of sweets.
Or the other.
Nottinghamshire.
Oh, let's do that again. No. Whereabouts am I from?
Mansfield.
Okay.
Police.
Which county am I from?
Nottinghamshire. Is that that's closer to correct, isn't it?
Why, when you say my home county, do you almost do your Kermit voice?
I can't do it now. Under pressure, I can't do it. Don't seize up.
By going for a wee in the
police in the area are hoping to trace the men following a break-in at a premises in Mansfield. Do you know this premises? The police have released CCTV image of the men, one of whom was seen carrying a child into the commercial building at the Millennium Business Park in Mansfield.
Oh, that's one of the recently regenerated areas. One of the few places that's had money spent on it in the area.
Police said the incident occurred between... Okay, we don't need that. But basically, they brought a child to a robbery. So, I mean...
Yeah.
Is this how you... Like, a weekend with dad? Is that what you would have done back in the day?
This dude spent 3 weeks dressed as Batman on top of some place to get this kid's access. You know, you can't expect him to not take the kid.
Well, no, he wasn't dressed as Batman. He was dressed as, like, the Riddler. So he was a bad guy, clearly. He's chosen the wrong costume.
You missed a pun.
Oh,
he should have been dressed as Robin because that's what he goes doing every week. That's the pun.
No.
All right. In my hometown.
That phrase, it's like taking candy from a baby. He's confused this whole thing. He's like, well, we've got
a baby.
That's not how we speak.
Okay.
Hey, go and be taking a kid with us. Going Robin. Go and take kid with us, don't we? It's like taking candy from baby.
Taking a baby to get the candy.
So, yeah, but you don't understand. It's an impoverished area. It needs more money spending on it. It's an area that was used to be okay with all the main exports, because our main export from the Mansfield and Ashfield surrounding areas, Planet Least, if you're still listening, is on Twitter. They'll know that our main export used to be coal. A lot of collieries around there. I come from a long line of miners, and by that I mean everyone who has kids over there that are under 16. Hey-o, have that. Nice. But, so there's a lot of mining in that area. And then, of course, Thatcher closed them down.
Oh, yeah.
Decimated the area. Our main export used to be coal. Now our main export, people for the Jeremy Kyle show. So at least, you know, we're in the service industry.
We know where this guy's going to end up.
He so is, isn't he? That is. This guy is going to be on the Jeremy Kyle show for two main reasons, right? A little bit scummy and a criminal, number one. Two, he's nicking sweet, so he ain't going to have any teeth. And if there's one thing you need to be on the Jeremy Kyle show... No teeth.
Some news with Steve N. Allen and Eric McIlroy. Some news, some bullshit.
Hello, good afternoon. I'm Steve N. Allen with Eric McIlroy. Some news on FUBAR Radio. Tweet at FUBAR Radio. I tell you what, on the old Twitter. So we're talking about crime up in Mansfield.
It's my hometown.
And that's my Adele impression, by the way. Do you like it?
Yep.
I think you do the face well. She says, thanks for headbutting the microphone there, Mr. Eric McIlroy. Slapstick, this is what we're bringing. Jane says, there's no class up there. When I plan my next break-in, it's got to be Poundland. More choice. It's a 99p store action on there. So we've kind of dealt with a lot of the news. If you've missed anything from the serious news through to the silly stuff, you can have a listen again. Get yourself the FUBAR app, then you can download it and listen. What I like to do is I download the show to the downloady bits. So even when I don't have any internet on my phone, I can listen back to myself for 3 hours. And then I strap on one of those wank bands. No. So I genuinely do. I always listen to that when I go for a run. I don't run for 3 hours. This show is too long. So normally I go about half an hour, have a little listen, and see what I should have done differently. Which actually, it's interesting. It's listening back to last year's, listening back to last week's show, when I thought, what would I have done differently? The answer is stick with chemistry. So, right, but we've dealt with the news. There's a thing that happens in newspapers where they talk a lot about people's problems. The problem page section, you get advice, and I'm not sure it's the best advice. So this is where we delve in and see what problems are out there. All right. There's one that was a Dear Deirdre one that was sent in. I always have to say this. I'm now not speaking as me. I'm quoting.
This one does sound... Is this the first one you're doing?
That does
sound a lot like you.
I work as an escort.
That is you.
Have fallen in love with a client.
Tick.
And I'm expecting his baby.
Triple tick.
We talked about marriage. Oh, of course you did, because people love to talk dirty to me about marriage. But now I've discovered he was married all along. What? Someone who pays for an escort is in some way underhanded. Oh, you shock me. We met when he got in touch through my escorting ad. Have I done this joke? I did it on stage on here about I was driving back on the motorway the other day and saw one of those things that says escort vehicle. And I thought, oh my God, they get a company car. of all the industries that don't need to drive places.
Well, in America, we had the Ford Escort. Did you have those here?
Yeah, we had a Ford Escort.
Okay. No joke there, just a question, just a fact that I needed to know.
Thanks,
thank you.
Thanks for bringing facts to the show. I'm 26 and he's about 48, but we both sense a real connection immediately. He saw me regularly and started saying he had feelings for me. He promised me he would divorce and only saw his daughter now and then. Don't worry, love, I only see my daughter now and then. Oh, then you're a keeper. Let's keep this going on. I told him I had stopped doing escort work, which was not true. But I wanted things to work between us. So I thought I'd do some lying. That's definitely the way forward.
Well, he's a liar, so what do we have in common?
Oh my God,
different ages, different lifestyles, and everything else. Now, just as a side note here, if you go back, as a 48-year-old, he's clearly in the midst of the midlife crisis. If he had followed our 5 steps to avoid a midlife crisis, this situation may not have happened.
I believe step 6 is see an escort.
Not to see an escort.
Oh, is it not?
Not to see an escort.
This crappy printer misses off vital words. Next thing, I'm seeing escorts all over.
We're not helping.
I'm talking like Tony Hancock about this. My good man, I'll have you know, a pint is nearly an armful. That would be a different pint if you're seeing an escort. He started saying he wanted us to marry and have kids before he was too old.
Too late.
So I got pregnant. I already have a child who is looked after by my mum. Oh, this is getting awkward. And I wanted a bat with me. This was one of the reasons I wanted a stable future with this guy. I was 5 months pregnant and got a call from his wife.
Ooh.
Oh, that's what happens when you put your phone number in phone booths. She had found my messages on his phone. She said there was no problem. She said there were no problems in their marriage.
Wow. She's out of. So far, I was thinking the other two people were the ones who were a little delusional in this story. The wife is the most deluded now, bless her.
How dare you be sleeping
with
me?
There's no problem in our marriage at all.
When I told someone about his wife, she showed no remorse. He showed no remorse. Someone showed no remorse.
You're struggling with your pronoun today.
I'm just getting. Well, because we started off by me being pregnant, so I don't see gender. I'm not prejudiced.
Okay.
He says that he still loves me, but I don't want to hear from him now at all. He really wants me to have this baby, and it's too late for a termination, but he shows no interest now. I still love him. I know I'm no angel, but I'm really hurt. What should I do, Eric?
I mean, I'm confused by he really wanted me to have the baby, but not how he shows no interest. Hmm. I mean, she's going to have this child. That's clear.
That's going to happen.
That is going to happen.
I
would imagine, I mean, I'd say try to go to university, which you can do in this country for loans that you probably won't pay back with your non-taxable earnings.
Okay.
And maybe give yourself an opportunity, maybe a little bit of film studies and get a job and have an opportunity.
Get a job, I think, is often. I'm amazed we don't say that more on this show.
I think he is definitely a dead end. So you need to forget this guy and his deluded wife, bless her. Because there are problems in your marriage, love.
Yeah.
I'm saying that right
but
now.
But that's their beef. That is a different letter being written to a different newspaper going, dear name of other person, my husband has been seeing an escort, got her pregnant, lied totally, but
actually,
we don't have any problems.
I've got that letter here.
I think the proper advice, though, is that, I mean, in many ways, this is great for you. You've not stopped the escort work, so you've still got the money coming in. You have a child that's looked after by your mum, but now you've got a new one. So,
problem solved.
This one you get to keep for a while.
That is the definite sensitive approach to that particular issue.
You know me, Eric. I am all
logic.
Heart.
Just apply logic to this. Forget love.
Yeah. So that's one of the
that's
stories.
That's one. All right.
So with tick. On
here
to
we
next
go.
One.
Dear Eric and Steve, addressed to us now. It's not. No one's written to us. I came home early one day to discover my wife in bed with my 24-year-old son from my first marriage.
So proud of him. He's my boy.
Okay. Well, that was good. We nearly first marriage. Fine. That's That's okay. And now she's going to have his baby. That's awkward. So you would be the stepfather and grandfather to the same individual. Yeah. I have my own.
She's going to make Christmas awkward.
It's,
you have to buy
presents?
Two gifts?
Yeah. Whose house do you go to? I have my own electrical repairs business. Ugh, blatant plug there. And this particular afternoon, I found...
Don't you hate people who cram in plugs? Like, imagine if I were to halfway through this story just mention that my show at the Bath Comedy Festival coming up later this month.
Or if you can't make it to Bath, you can always come down every Tuesday night to the South Bank to Crack Comedy to see Steve live. Or catch him on YouTube on News 500. Those kind of blatant plugs.
It's ridiculous.
It'd be ridiculous. Yeah, all right. Terrible. This man who's got a... situation with his son and wife. He has his own electrical repairs business. And this particular afternoon, I found my last customer was out, so I decided to call it a day and go home.
Happy
no
day.
One seemed to be in there at first, so I went upstairs to shower and change. When I found my wife and son in our marital bed, devastated, hardly covers how I felt or covers them. I am 46, and this is my third marriage. Dude, you're heading to your fourth. My son's mother left me and my son when he was just 7, so I've raised him, though he has always been a handful.
Well, that's what she said. I can't believe I did a that's what she said joke. It happened.
I mean, if he sets it up like that, we got to knock it down.
Yeah.
I remarried when he was 10, but that marriage ended bitterly 2 years ago. Was he sleeping with her as well? I couldn't believe my luck when I met a beautiful young woman from Lithuania.
Yeah, online, and it's very
your
very
son
affordable.
Couldn't believe his luck either, who I thought loved me. We got married last year. She's 26, and she and my son seem to get on well.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of joking around.
Screwing in the bed. Really getting on well.
But
you know
I had
you can
no
see?
Idea how well. Now, my new wife says she's pregnant and is determined to keep the baby. There's no chance it could be mine, as my wife has been telling me she's had a problem, which meant we couldn't have sex recently. Yeah, the problem was your son's beep. How was my beep? Was that a good beep?
It's not as good as mine. I'm a professional.
Sam! My son has moved in with a friend while he and my wife look for a place of their own where they plan to raise the child as a couple. Well, that's considerate of them. While she's made it clear there's no way back for us, to be honest, I would not even want her back. Well, no shit.
That's sour grapes, though, isn't it?
Yeah, try and be a little understanding. I don't know if I can ever forgive my son for what he's done to me. I still love him, but I just don't know how I can face him again, let alone forgive him for this. Yeah.
Well, this, other than the Lithuanian element, it's like a Greek tragedy. And, It's a Lithuanian tragedy, isn't it? That, you know, this son, all these... He, in many ways, sacrifices things to become a single dad to this kid. They grow up, and ultimately, the son betrays the father. And that is where the drama comes from.
Well, the thing is Lithuania actually does have a large Russian population. And as we know, Russians are controlled by aliens. So there is a chance that this child
is an alien.
Could be an alien. So you're best off moving on, mate.
Seriously, I mean, as much as that was the jokey answer, the proper thing is just get out of town on this one. You don't need any of this. You don't need any of this stress. As Mary J. says, no more drama. And I take most of my life lessons from 90s R&B.
But if you are looking for somebody who's newly single and 26, we know an escort who is looking for love and is having a baby. So maybe we could do a little love connection.
Beautiful work. And she don't want no scrubs, because a scrub is a guy who can't get no love from me. See, I really do take all of my life lessons from the 2000s, but still.
Okay. Where are we at here?
Beautiful work. Right, we're getting...
Move it on.
Wait, what? I'm now quoting TLC, and I think the show is better for it. So, we've answered those. You did point out no one censors these. If you've got a problem in your life and you'd like us to deal with it, then you actually can email steve@fubarradio.com.
Yes.
It doesn't just have to be ones from newspapers. Any problems, you know the kind of advice we can now give. We could sort you out. Email steve@fubarradio.com and your problem could be featured in a future show.
Some news with Steve N. Allen and Eric McIlroy, bringing you the news the way you want to hear it.
Into the final little streak of this then, some news on Fubar Radio. I'm Steve Allen, that's Eric McIlroy. And as we get to find out how we did today, we started the show off with a little pointer in the right direction by Sam. Sam's back in. So how did it? How do you reckon it went?
It was good again today, wasn't it?
Enjoyed it.
I want to apologise again to Eric for the lipstick on the coffee mug incident.
It was not my colour.
We didn't mention this on radio. Yeah, we got a coffee halfway through the show and the cup had lipstick on it.
Which I already feel bad enough going to Sam and saying, excuse me, I'd like a cup of coffee, please. And then to have to send it back.
No, you're getting it all wrong, dude. You're a radio star now. You've got to Devo this stuff up.
All right. Okay.
I imagine that is the male Diva, isn't it? The Devo? Because that does sound like the kind of thing that Scotland wants. But, if they just want some stroppy dude who's being a bit of a precious thing about lipstick on his coffee, we'll send you, Eric, we will send you up to Scotland, Devo Max. No, it needs to be some
already,
dude called Max.
Yeah, I did my show on Scotland, and it was received with open arms, which, yeah.
So how do you think that, so any highlights for you for the show? What did you enjoy?
Highlights today, for me, the doctor coming on and talking sleep. Because
he was good. Yeah, he was good.
I mean, it was odd that we were covering a story that suggested over 8 hours sleep is a bad thing, and the first thing he said was, well, I enjoy 9 hours most nights.
Crazy, isn't
it? Yeah. Did he justify that? Did he say why?
Yes, that we all have a natural amount of sleep that we need, and that's the amount you should have.
And that's dependent on person.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
And he was saying that don't get all crazy about this it's a correlatory survey but not a causal one. Right. He didn't say causality, he said a different word. I think he meant causality.
Stop talking now.
What was shut your face. That's what I do for a living. No, yeah, and don't go thinking that sleeping causes the stroke. It's just that statistically people who have strokes maybe sleep longer.
Right.
Or predisposed to strokes. So he say that's great, because that means that I can go home and have you're gonna have your afternoon kip.
And you did give him his next PhD thesis, which is gonna be, is there a correlation between
height
tallness
and sleep?
Sleep?
Do tall people need to sleep longer?
We're gonna copyright that.
Mm.
Yeah,
interesting.
Seems good, and he's going to take my kids to school so I can sleep in.
Yeah, perfect. So if you want to hear all that business, you can listen again by downloading the content via the app. Get it on your phone, get it downloaded, get it listened to. So yeah, I think it was all right. So this is the bit of the show where we just put the world to rights. We wrap stuff up, the definitive words. You got some things for us, and we'll just knock this one out of the park.
Yeah, normally, I mean, I just come up with something, and it's kind of meaningless. It's throwaway, but we have some fun.
Which is the description of the entire show,
and also
my career.
Try to hit, yeah.
However, today I need actual advice.
Oh,
that's okay.
Wow. Awkward.
We just asked for people to bring us their problems.
Yeah.
Crap. And Sam's responded.
I feel pressure now.
Okay.
Right, so this is now agonize, isn't it, effectively?
Yeah.
Sam's agonize Sam.
What's your beef?
Okay. I am a student at the University of Westminster.
Okay.
Does the Jihadi John connection make my degree less valuable?
That's a very good point. Has this person who's written in been to see any extremists do a talk?
No, but they do offer them, don't they?
They're not called that.
Would
you like to see an extremist? Want to get some radical viewpoints? Come along or we'll talk you into killing people. They don't do that.
No, they don't.
At the moment, you can't turn up and do a speech going, you should do some violence.
Of course.
Because that's inciting violence. You're against the law. Get out of town. Jog on, you violent person. Yesterday in the news, they were saying that they want to try and clamp down on people who give talks on extremist views that could lead to violence.
Right.
What have you been? So you've not been seeing any talks at all?
Well, no, it's not really covered in my course.
What course? What's the name of your course?
Well, this is the other issue, Steve. Is, I mean, I do a journalism degree, so you probably argue it's pointless anyway.
No, a journalism one's a proper one. Because you have to learn about the law and things.
Okay.
So you're going to be handy, because pretty soon we're heading up to the election, right? EMAC over there was like, oh, we should talk loads of politics, up to tell them about the Purdue thing.
What?
Oh, nuts.
Right. Oh, maybe that's what happens when you go to that university.
I know what he's talking about.
I have no idea.
Oh, which year are you in?
I'm in third. I'm about to write a dissertation.
And that's Westminster University, ladies and gentlemen. Your career now.
Do you want 3 years off without doing any work at all? No, I'm sure your degree is.
Well, when I say journalism degree, it's actually a radio production degree. So
there's your difference.
Right. Yeah, I mean, we do cover media law, but it's brief.
It sounds like, to be honest.
Although I did pass.
Nice.
So you graduated?
No, I haven't
just
yet.
Okay. So, radio production.
I guess in your mind, that is completely pointless.
Well, I would say, well, no, maybe you've got some wicked ass production skills that is not possible to learn by working in radio.
No, that's not the case.
Have you set up all the shortcuts on your Adobe Audition?
Yeah, not all of them, just the ones I need.
You should get. Yeah, I suppose you don't. Yeah, there's some fancy filters, you don't want shortcuts for it. Look at it, he's got no idea what we're on about. But that's that.
No one knows what you're talking about.
Everyone, if you've used Adobe Audition, don't be going through menus. All this all that crap.
You're losing the kids again.
That wasn't taught at university.
Was it not?
No, those are just things I picked up off other people.
Just by, you get, yeah, Mr. Windle. Is that you buy him some shoes, he gives you some knowledge.
Let's go back to the original question. Yeah? Because this is no interest to anyone. Is there guilt by association is what you're saying?
Yes.
This is bad for the brand of the university, which is probably, I'm sure the university people are a little bit worried about this themselves.
Yes,
it's a legitimate question.
Are.
And of course, yeah. I don't think it is. They can't control any of their university graduates. I don't think you should worry. I think you should worry if you start removing body parts from people, that would be a concern.
Right. If that were covered in your audio production course, that would be.
It hasn't, no.
When they say you're in your radio, if you're cutting people off, that's not a literal thing to do, okay? So it's just, it's like, cut his mic. No, not his windpipe. So that would be...
Oh, dear.
Well, that's almost the end of the show.
That was, I think you'd be all right, because I do worry about that. So, like, your fellow alumni in some way tainting your ability, because I went to the same university as Anne Widdecombe. Oh, God, could you imagine?
Both of you guys, when you have your alumni reunions, it's going to be awkward.
Yes.
Yeah. Who? Any of the big names who went to yours?
Vivian Westwood.
Beautiful work.
But they're the two.
John and Vivian Westwood.
I'm sure that if Westminster University were to contact us, they could come up with more alumni than that.
I think some radio person, Danny Wallace, who worked on another radio
station.
Really? Yeah.
Chris Tarrant went to mine.
Really?
Yeah, the old that kind of Chris Tarrant impression. I'd be like to. Thank you. That's what that was the first year of my university learning to do that.
Yeah, that's almost as good as my Jimmy Carter impersonation.
Who was it was actually the same voice. Who was the sailing woman, the first woman to sail somewhere?
Amelia Earhart.
No, she didn't. She wasn't meant to hit the water. That was her first mistake.
We'll get complaints about that.
Really? The Amelia Earhart Society. If you do write in, they'll probably get lost. Now, if you send them email, they will. I'm on a roll! Come on, there's not often people get to do, like, improv about Amelia Earhart. This is not the topic I was ready for. MacArthur something. Helen MacArthur.
Yeah, that's right, isn't
it? Also went to the University of Birmingham.
Okay. So does that answer your question?
Not really. I don't think so.
And if you want that kind of help and advice, write in now to Steve at FUPAR.
Your foreign university, where
Western Washington University in Bellingham, Washington.
Any famous people went there?
There's this one guy. He's made a real career for himself in the UK as a stand-up comedian.
Who the hell is that?
Why
don't you meet up with him more often? So much in common. He could help you out because
be the most famous person from my university, which is not very good endorsement.
Wow.
But we don't have anyone who's currently being wanted for illegally using their student ID to buy discounted software that they aren't eligible for. And that is the real crime here, because that drives up the prices for the rest of us.
Well, I'm not sure what we've learnt there, but that's so that's it for the show. Right, we'll be back next Monday from 10 o'clock. Woo! Get yourself the app if you're listening online or whatever. Make sure you get the app so you can listen again if you missed any bits. It's downloadable to your phone. And right, we'll do all this same time again tomorrow, next week, or whatever those words are.
Some news with Steve N. Allen and Eric McIlroy. Some news, some bullshit.